A Ford Football Scoreboard Show. Football! Every score, every game, every coach. You'll hear it all from this week in high school football. The new A Ford Football Scoreboard Show on KCIM and Kick 106.7 is also brought to you by Bruner, Bruner, Reinhardt & Morton, Feld Fire, Mackey Motors, Outlaw Graphics, DMAC & Carroll, New Way Ford, Gatorade, Curb Appeal, and Motor In. Now let's get you caught up with all the scores.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the New Way Ford Scoreboard Show here in Week 7 of high school football. Mason Neal and Jim Molitor, Todd Danner here with you guys tonight. And, I mean, when you look at the scores tonight for some of the teams, that was a crazy week of football.
Very crazy. Everybody in the 3A district that we know of pitched a shutout. Now, Atlantic and Greene County, we don't have a score there, but at least Greene County had scored. So,
yeah.
They're not all a shutout, so...
Yeah, and I mean, you look at the three games we broadcast, 50-0 Carroll, 48-6 for Kemper and ELC, and an 84-30 win for Audubon there. We're going to run you guys through the scores here. I'll start with Class 3A District 6, as we talked about earlier. Carroll defeating Creston 50-0. You got Perry getting shut out by Harlan 63-0 there on Harlan's homecoming. Still looking for that Atlantic and a Greene County score.
All right, and Class 2A District 2, it was Kemper over Esterville Lincoln Central, 48-6. Spirit Lake defeated Southeast Valley, 56-27. And in a nail-biter, Okoboji squeaks by OABCIG, 17-15.
All right, Class 1A, District 2. South Central Calhoun comes up on the wrong side of the scoreboard tonight. 31-14, loses to Manson Northwest Webster. East Sac picks up a nice 30-28 victory over Pocahontas Area. And Emmitsburg rolls over South Hamilton 37-8.
And I just want to go back to that Class 3A. Nick here standing next to us gave us the score for Atlantic, 46-7. They defeated Greene County there. Move over to Class A at District 8. There, the ICAM Manning Wolves picking up a 43-0 win over Westwood. Woodbury Central defeating Loma 33-14. St. Albert with a close one with Akron Westfield 14-7. And West Monona shutting out Southwest Valley 40-0.
All right, 8-man District 9. It was Audubon all over Coon Rapids Baird, 86-30. Xyra Elkhorn Kimbleton defeated Glidden Ralston, 54-18. Arweva, 61. Newell Fonda, 39. And Cam crushes Griswold, 60-6.
And what a performance there by the Wheelers, we have to talk about. I mean, obviously two teams there, and that was the district title game between Coon Rapids and Audubon. I think Audubon went out and made kind of a statement game for themselves.
Very, very much it sounded like.
And I think now that I got a text here, I think Mr. Jeff Blankman and Mr. Doug Wanager are listening to us on the ride home. He's probably about an hour and a half away still here. But we're going to take a break. We'll hear from Coach Craig Roeder as well as Coach Sean Burks about their win tonight here on the New Way Auto Group Scoreboard Show.
It's the New Way Auto Group Scoreboard Show on KCIM and Kick 106.7. Carroll gets a dominant win at home tonight over Creston, 50-0. And I talked to you a little bit before pregame, Coach, as I'm joined by Coach Roeder here. A team that struggles against the running game, you guys like to run the ball. That's got to feel like Christmas morning when you wake up and say, we got to play football tonight and hopefully take advantage of our strengths versus some weaknesses. First play of the game, an 80-yard touchdown. Is that like opening your favorite Christmas present right away, first present on Christmas morning?
I usually don't script anything coming in, just to kind of see where we get the ball. But yeah, we had our jumbo set, and I wanted to run that just right inside, not ISO play. And when we saw their alignment, I thought it had a chance pre-snap. And then, yeah, you saw a couple good blocks, and Malik looked like he got shot out of a cannon. So, definitely a great way to start the game.
So he takes it 80 yards, and it took 8 seconds off the clock. You do the math. That's a pretty quick touchdown run. I don't know if maybe they were a second slow or anything on starting the clock, but they got the touchback to start. So you started with 12 and a couple zeros up there. and you score. When you have a touchdown lead 8 seconds in, that's about as good a start as you can hope for. Defensively, you get 2 3-and-outs. You get 2 touchdowns on your first 2 drives. On your second drive, Michael Roeder caps it off with a 4-yard touchdown run. So at that point, it's 12-0, and they don't have a first down yet. At that point, pretty happy with how things are going, I'm sure.
Yeah, run game was clicking. You know, the only thing that really didn't go our way there was we tried a couple of our 2-point attempts just by some alignments we saw that looked all right. But, you know, so we'll still work on those a little bit. But that was about early on, that was about the only thing not working offensively for us.
Before you even have to attempt a pass, it's 12-0. You guys do attempt a pass then. It's a 55-yard touchdown. Matt Collison, he's been playing well at receiver this year, gets his first touchdown of the season. He would double up tonight. He would get another one later. But what'd you see on the 55-yard pass play, your first pass attempt of the night? Were they just trying to sell out for the run and you guys saw something that was open in the passing game, or how'd that shake out?
Yeah, there are safeties. You know, when you're playing a 3-4 defense against our offense, you got to bring those safeties down to help with the run or you're in trouble. So those safeties flew down, you know, as anticipated. And then we could have, take your pick, 3 or 4 different receivers. But Mac has some nice length to him and just ran that little inside slant. And I was pretty confident him one-on-one with a corner.
So that was your third touchdown. At that point, it's 19-0, and they still don't have a first down. I think they finally get a first down on the next drive, but they aren't able to do anything with it. So you guys get the ball back. You go up 26-0 late in the first quarter. You cap off a drive with Malik's second rushing touchdown of the night, about a 10 or 11-yarder. Running wild was the theme of the night.
Yeah, and it sounds kind of weird, but I even thought, I thought we were in the second quarter on Malik's second touchdown. And it was when you lose track of time, I guess it's going pretty well.
So 26-0 after one. You go to the second quarter. You get 2 more touchdowns before halftime. Matt Collison hauls in his second touchdown of the night, a 9-yarder with about 4 minutes left. And then with about a minute and a half left, Malik caps off the night, caps off the first half with his third rushing touchdown, and spoiler alert, he's not quite done yet. We'll get there. But going into halftime, 40-0, continuous clock there with 90 seconds left. Did that first half go about as good as you could have ever hoped, or were there still things that you were hoping you guys could accomplish?
No, it was pretty good. But I, again, credit to our kids that during the week, we got an outstanding look with our scout defense for our offense. And, in fact, some of the stuff, we saw on from our scout defense, Jake Kincaid was playing our inside linebacker. He was giving us fits. So our guys had to, you know, adjust, and so it made the game kind of move a little bit slower. And, you know, Trey Mock was another one on the defensive line. They kind of was giving us, you know, he's pretty quick and gets through and messed up some of our stuff. So, you know, we got a great look all week during the scout team and vice versa. I thought our offensive scout group ran routes really well, and it kind of gave our defense a picture of, you know, what to prepare for. And a lot of those touchdowns were set up because the defense was, you know, locked in and getting 3-and-outs or setting us up with really good field position.
Really, the only thing defensively that looked like it didn't go your way tonight, and I'm sure you guys talked about it at halftime, the untimed down, they get one play because of a late hit out of bounds. Was that just something where they lost track of where they were at on the field? The quarterback scrambled as time was expiring, had a nice gain toward midfield, and they just didn't pull up on the tackle quick enough, or what did you guys talk about?
Yeah, it was a right on the sideline deal, and the quarterback's not a very big kid, so I think we just kind of turned, and it might have looked a little worse than reality, but and then they came back and tried to run a little screen on the untimed down, and luckily for them, Quentin was a step off, because otherwise it would have been a little ugly there with Quentin sitting over the middle waiting on that.
40-0 at halftime. You do score twice in the second half. You get Adam Malik, a 45-yard touchdown run midway through the third quarter. He finishes the night with 4 touchdowns, I think 14 carries for 188 yards. He was eaten tonight. Offensive line created holes, and as we saw with an 8-second, 80-yard touchdown run, he turned on the Jets multiple times tonight.
Yeah, he ran well tonight. You know, last week, he didn't have an abundance of carries either. I think he was leading class 3A in carries 2 weeks ago. So, you know, it's been nice to get production out of them without having to, you know, give them a huge workload. And, you know, it sets up our pass game just so they can't load the box on him. And but I thought he did a nice job. That second half, that first play, again, scores on his first touch. But we talked to him at halftime just about being a little bit more patient, setting up those blocks. Sometimes he gets so amped up, he's running by our pullers before they have a chance to knock somebody down. So just be a little patient, and he was. But, yeah, the guys up front, the offensive line, did a great job all night.
Didn't need to pass the ball a whole lot, but you do get a productive night from Camden King. I think he finished 8 for 11 with about 130 yards, found Matt Collison for a pair of touchdowns. The last 2 weeks, he's throwing 70%, somewhere in that ballpark, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. It seems like his quarterbacking and his passing game just continues to get better as the season goes on.
Yeah, and we knew he would. You know, again, it was a rough way to break in a new quarterback with our non-district schedule, but you're seeing it pay off now. So he's made some great strides. He still has a little room to go, but, you know, and it also makes him dangerous with his ability to run the ball. You know, so that's just another element that if everything is covered and you bail, he does have the ability to take off and hurt you with his legs. So, no, been really happy with his decision making, and I'm actually more happy with the 0 interceptions than the 4 touchdowns, but the touchdowns are bonus.
At the last play of the game, as time is expiring, Creston has 4th down and goal from the 5, and they get about 4.5 yards against your second team defense. What kind of feather in the cap of those guys does that leave for you guys to hold the shutout?
Yeah, it was big for those guys. You know, they don't get they're not always guaranteed time, so they were, you know, you had the starters out there cheering them on, and it's been a long. I'd have to look back when we've actually had back-to-back shutouts. You know, so that was a big deal for them, and you know, something for them to take a little pride into.
You got winless Creston tonight, winless Perry next Friday, and then we assume it'll probably be a district title fight week 9, but how do you guys not look forward too far and focus like you did tonight? You came out focused, looking good, and you get the shutout win. What do you have to do to keep the guys ready to go and maybe try to do it again next week?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to look ahead, but I was really happy with my staff this week. You know, they were 0-6 coming in, but we knew they had the ability to score a lot of points. And it seriously reminded me of a playoff game as far as the prep went. We poured a lot in special teams. We had a lot of time put into our kick return unit that only saw the opening kickoff because, you know, they had onside kicks like 6 or 7 times the last 2 weeks. So we were prepped and ready to go. We drilled that a lot this week and then didn't need it. You know, so we'll over prepare and I think that the kids notice that too. Like, okay, they're, you know, when the coaches are locked in and hey, we have to buckle down and I don't, you know, really worry about their record. But yeah, if we take care of business like we can and don't turn the ball over, I think we'll be pretty tough to beat these next couple weeks.
I will see you guys in Perry next Friday. Congrats on the win tonight, 50-0 at home over Creston. Carroll's now 4-3, 3-0 in the district. Coach, congrats and best of luck next week. We'll see you down there.
You bet, Nick. Thanks for all the coverage and go Tigers.
50-0 win for Carroll tonight. They top Creston. I'm Nick Brings and you're listening to the New Way Auto Group Scoreboard Show on KCIM and Kick 106.7 as Craig Rowetter joins us after the victory.
New Way Ford in Coon Rapids and Pocahontas is proud to sponsor our area teams because supporting our communities is what we're all about. When it comes time to buy your next new or used vehicle, look here first. At New Way Ford, you'll find a great selection, fair prices, and a team that makes the car buying process easy, relaxed, and fun. Plus, with 3 oil changes for life, you can drive with confidence long after the sale. New Way Ford in Coon Rapids and Pocahontas.
Feld Fire of Carroll is the choice of homeowners and business professionals. They chose Feld Fire because of the local and prompt service, 24/7 technician support, and the ability to control their security device from their mobile device. That makes keeping your property safer even easier. A professional Feld representative can help you create a protection plan for your home or business. No matter what you're trying to protect, they've got you covered. Feld Fire of Carroll, proud supporters of our area high school athletes. Thinking about your future? The DMAC Carroll campus is a smart choice. Get a quality education at an affordable price, close to home. Join student organizations, meet new friends, and get involved. You'll find supportive staff guiding you every step of the way and expert faculty ready to share their knowledge and real-world experience. Kickstart your education today at the Carroll DMAC campus. Call 712-792-1755. DMAC, life's calling.
Big things are happening in Outlaw Graphics in Carroll. Outlaw Graphics is on the move, literally. They're excited to announce they've expanded into a brand new shop, bringing you more space, more capabilities, and even more ways to help your business, team, or your event stand out. From eye-catching vehicle wraps and commercial signage to custom apparel, if you want your logo on it, they can make it happen. Planning a special event? Make it memorable with personalized t-shirts, koozies, or hats designed just for you. Watch their new space come to life. Follow the excitement on Facebook at Outlaw Signs, Graphics, and Apparel.
Welcome back here to the New Way Ford Scoreboard Show. I'm Tom Hawkamp, now joined by Ottoman head coach Sean Burks, as the Wheelers were able to get an 86-30 victory over the Coon Rapids Baird Crusaders on the road tonight. And coach, this game started off and I thought, boy, what did I sign up for? I didn't get my energy drink to keep track of the stats as you guys decided to just trade punches right away and only have a couple play drives.
Yeah, well, we scored on two plays, they scored on two plays. We scored on our first play, and then they threw a pick on their first play. We come back and score in two plays. Then there's they punt, we take it to the house. They get the ball back, and they go two plays, score. It was pretty explosive early, and you know, give credit to those guys. They're solid. They're salty. If they get healthy, especially, they're just a dangerous offensive group. They put you in a bind where I talked to all the guys all week, but it doesn't make it any easier. But you know, the DBs have to focus on one thing. The linebackers have to focus on something. D line. They really focus you to do your job. There's some teams that'll play in a box a little bit, and you can kind of our D line can kind of occupy some blocks, whatever. But the way these guys use space. And the way they use the RPO game and the play action game and the read option game. Now, Coach Lindsay's doing a really good job with the program, and they saw that. They put up some points on us on the varsity early, and then you know some of our subs later on. But they were doing some really nice things where one guy takes the wrong gap, one guy's slow to get there, and they break some explosive runs off. And they've shown that all year that they're going to put up yards and points and numbers. And we had our hands full tonight. Luckily, our offense was able to keep some of that pressure off and keep us at a distance. But it was more of a push than maybe that final score looked like, for sure.
Well, your special teams really set you up, whether it was kickoff returns, punt returns. You mentioned the one that went to the house, but I mean, I don't know for sure, three or four of those drives started with inside the 15-yard line.
Yeah, we've been talking, that our special teams is probably our slowest one to get up to speed on the year. Our offense early on, I think we against Rems and others, we were scoring at a big clip, and our defense was keeping teams to one first down a game or whatever a few times. So there were nights where our offense, our defense were getting, graded as an A, so to speak. And last week was probably the first time our special teams was probably up to a B, maybe, whether it was kick coverage assignments or kick return, we had a couple penalties on kick returns in the past. Punt return, we just weren't picking up our wall very well. But tonight, I thought our punt return did a really nice job. Jorgen Norotsky did a really good job on that. Kick return, the last one there with Cam King even. Early Mason Casper had a big one, if I remember right. Paxton Bean had a big one there on kicks. Our special teams tonight. Orm didn't kick it extremely deep tonight. We've had a lot of touchbacks, which puts a lot of pressure on, the kick return in 8-man is such a, it's like a free offensive play, right? And when you have teams like the athletes like CRB has, it's tough. They put you in a bind. And I thought our kick coverage unit, for the most part tonight, we had a lot of opportunities there with, 86 points or whatever. And, it's tough to keep them in check, but we really did. Our kick coverage was the best by far we've been all year, and then our return units did a really good job. So, yeah, special teams did a great job carrying the load tonight, too.
You guys have been able to handle games rather quickly here the past few weeks. Is there any concern with you how well the conditioning and stuff is on this team, being able to, you're getting a lot of guys some playing time, you're getting a lot of experience, but any concern with not getting into that later third quarter, fourth quarter play?
We left some of our linemen, tight end type guys in a little bit longer tonight than we probably would have liked to. So we kind of tried to slow sub a little bit where, you know, we took Aiden Mason out and let Paxton and Brody out and run with more of our varsity, and then started to sub Austin out and some other guys out from there. So we're trying to get some of those guys more of that game-like conditioning. But there's only so much you can do, right? And I thought for the most part we got pushed pretty good early. And I don't know how many snaps there were tonight. There had to be a lot. So I think that's the other thing. In the first half, there was still a lot of snaps. So this was probably the most condition we've gotten at this point in the season. Against Fremont Mills, we certainly were pushed a couple weeks ago. Now we're getting pushed here in week seven. I think we're as good a shape as we're going to be. I mean, it's hard to simulate game reps, but we're at the point in the season where I feel like our guys know what it takes to be in football shape. But it's another thing to do it for four quarters, so I guess we'll find out when we have to have the guys in there for four full quarters again.
When you take a look at this team, I don't know that you were given a slow player at all this year. The linemen seem to be getting out, getting down the field, lots of pancake blocks. All your receivers made what they needed to do. I thought Mr. Christensen tonight was doing a good job getting to the edge, setting the edge on the blocks for you. And then on the defensive side, boy, he was having a fun one.
Yeah, Austin's a fun kid. And at halftime, we talked early in the first quarter when he gave up. He got in the wrong gap, jumped a little too far, and they pressed the cutback, and they pressed it right through the middle and scored on the, I think it was their second touchdown. And Austin knew he screwed up. He learned from it. He asked the question, and that's going to eat at him all weekend. You just know it. You know, for the nine things Austin does right out of ten, he's going to focus on the one he does wrong, sometimes out of fault. Sometimes we got to get him out of his head a little bit where he's a little too hard on himself just because he expects greatness. He expects perfection, and as such a great leader that he strives for that. Because, you know, when you strive for perfection, you can end up in greatness, so to speak. And Austin's one of those guys that is a leader of ours, right? His energy is contagious. His effort is contagious. His determination, whatever you want to name, Austin's an all-timer. And in our program, there's been a lot of really, really good players. And Austin's in that upper tier of all-timers, of film study, of asking questions, of competitive drive. If he doesn't catch a ball, he doesn't touch a ball, he will not complain, right? If someone else is making the tackles, he's fine with it. But he's going to be there just in case. And he's going to make sure he's the lead block and drive. He'll get a holding penalty about once a night because he's going to make sure he finishes a block. He's just that teammate that everyone wants to play with. And I just couldn't ask for a better leader of our group. And I think he's an emblem of why this team has a chance to be really, really good this year, because he doesn't care about the stats, right? If you look at our helmets this year, there's no individual stickers for the first time in a while. And I brought it up this week. I said, guys, my past few years, I always forget the first game or two, and then we have to get caught up and we do those. And we haven't talked a lot about some of those accolades. And we set some team goals and individual goals, whatever. And before I could finish my statement Thursday night, Austin, Soli, a couple seniors were like, we're not putting them on. We don't want them. And it's just that team aspect of this mature focus. It's just something that I've had some really good teams, but I don't know that we've had a group like this. And Austin's a leader of that, and his other seniors, you name it, Isaac, Soli, Brody Weber, Carson. There's guys that have had different roles throughout the season. Some guys are only playing one way. Carson's a rotational guy right now, and they're not going to complain. They're going to grind, and they're going to be about the team, and that's when special things can happen.
Well, you got something special going tonight. You got a big win, and Coach, I always appreciate you taking the time to visit with us. Next week, you get Exira at home. I'm sure you've seen him on tape a couple times. What do you think about that one?
We haven't focused a lot on their films, just because the teams we've been playing have been doing some different things, and Exira HK doesn't run a lot like we run, so I really haven't watched a whole lot. I know just based on their kids, we know their kids pretty well, and you know, in our proximity of our schools, and the Brabham kid and the Kilworth kid, and there's I can't remember the other kid that's been the homeschool kid, can't think of his name, but there's kind of been a three-headed monster there where early it looked like a lot of Brabham, and then it looked like Brabham Kilworth, and now this other kid I know has been getting a lot of reps, and we'll pull the film on this weekend. I think they're a team that senior heavy, and a lot of times you see teams like that start to peak late in the season when they're getting those young guys to get up to speed, and they're playing for a playoff berth tonight and into next week. That game always means a lot to our communities. It might mean more to the parents and the grandparents and the aunts and the uncles than it does our kids as far as the rivalry term. Our kids know that they stand between us and multiple home playoff games, an undefeated regular season, keep some streaks alive. Had our regular season streak pushed to 20-whatever tonight. Our district win streak pushed to, you know, almost that same number. You know, we've got a lot of streaks going on right now that our kids have been challenged to elevate the standard this year. Our standard's really high, but can you find a way to raise it even further? And tonight we wrapped up our third straight district title, something we haven't done. We've had two in a row. We've had shares here and there, but we've never had three outright. A 3-1 seed seasons in a row, and next week we can lock it up that there's no share, there's nothing in between that, and I'm really proud of our group, and we'll find out what Xavier HK does well, and I'm sure it'll be a fun senior night atmosphere. And like I told the kids, you know, tonight we guarantee that that's not our last time our seniors play on that field, but it's still a senior night. It's still, you know, there's some special things that go with your last regular season game. It's hard to imagine. It's already week 8. It's crazy.
Coach, again, I appreciate your time, and best of luck next week.
Thank you. Appreciate the coverage.
That is the head coach for the Ottoman Wheelers, Sean Burks, as his squad gets an 86-30 victory over the Coon Rapids Baird Crusaders. You're listening to the New Way Forward Scoreboard Show. I'm Tom Hawkapp.
Bruner, Bruner, Reinhardt & Morton is a general practice law firm that's been providing highly ethical, professional, and dedicated legal services to their clients since 1936 in Carroll, Glidden, Coon Rapids, and Guthrie Center communities. Bruner, Bruner, Reinhardt & Morton is a four-attorney firm with a combined 97 years of experience. For more information, call Barry, Dave, Eric, or Jessica at 792-3480 or visit brunerlegal.com.
Since 1968, Mackey Motors has been serving Lake City and the surrounding communities with new and certified pre-owned vehicles. Mackey Motors is a full-service dealership providing oil changes in our Quick Lube Express bays, a service department with world-class trained technicians, a body shop and collision center with the latest equipment, a full vehicle detailing department, or come talk with one of our highly knowledgeable sales staff.
Recipient of the GM Mark of Excellence Award for 16 years running. Together, let's drive at Mackey Motors in Lake City. MackeyMotors.com.
Welcome back to our New Way Forward Scoreboard Show here, joined by the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Nick Brinks. Nick, I mean, 50-0 you called here tonight. You got to take me back to that first call. I listen, and all I hear is, you know, I didn't have enough time to say anything. Adam Malik's gone.
I hadn't mentioned it yet because I didn't know if it would be relevant, but last year, first play of the game, Taden Peterson goes 71 yards for the touchdown, and I remembered that as I was digging through my stats from last year. I was curious how the game went out. And first play of the game, 8 seconds, 80-yard touchdown for Adam Malik. So they got off to as good a start as you could have imagined, and I joked, I don't know if the clock was a second late or a couple seconds late from starting because there was a touchback on the opening play, but to go 80 yards in 8 seconds, that's pretty good. You run the 100-meter dash in, what, 10 seconds? He basically did 80 in 8, and so, yeah, I would imagine it probably was closer to 11 or 12 seconds, something right like that, but it just looked funny up on the scoreboard, seeing a 6-0 lead, 80-yard touchdown, 11:52. Wishful thinking, probably, but still, it was fun for him, and I don't think he cares if it took 12 seconds or 24 seconds, 80 yards to the house, first play of the game. Can't beat it. Second year in a row, Carroll's done that, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and you talk about the impact Adam Malik had tonight. I mean, what, 180-some yards and four touchdowns?
Yeah, 14 carries, 188 yards and four touchdowns, and his four touchdowns were his longest runs of the night. If it went for under 10 yards, no touchdown. Everything that went 11 or more was a touchdown. I think he had 11, 13, 80, and 45 on his last carry of the night, too. So he had a fantastic night. That put him over 1,000 yards for the season. So he's right up there with the 3A, with the best of them in 3A. So that's been fun to watch. Obviously, you don't do that without a good offensive line ahead of you. But those boys up front created some holes, and some of those runs, There might not have been any contact on some of them, so just a fun night for him especially. But great win for those guys, and they bookended it. They had the shutout going. Creston's marching down the field with their starters in. Carroll had second-teamers out there for the most part. Fourth and goal from the 5, last play of the game, and Carroll holds them at the 1-yard line, preserved the shutout, and I mentioned it on our postgame. In the grand scheme of things, it means nothing if it's 50-7 or 50-0.
Right.
But those guys can sleep a little better tonight, mm-hmm. saying, we held them to zero. for the second week in a row, and Coach Rowetter also was curious. He has no idea when the last time Carroll pitched two shutouts back-to-back. Maybe we'll do some digging, but a couple great weeks for Carroll has set them up in a really, really good spot. We'll be watching Atlantic Harlan next week. Carroll will try to take care of business against Perry, and then come that final week of the regular season, Carroll may have a playoff spot locked up. They might have the two seed at minimum clinched going in. And if next week goes poorly for Atlantic, Carroll could have nothing to play for, perhaps, in the final week. But as of now, it feels like that's going to be a district championship game. Week 9 should be fun.
Yeah, and what a week that might be if the fact that Kemper may have their first-round playoff game at a 4:30 or 5 start at Carroll, and then Carroll could have their senior night against Atlantic for a district title as kind of that main event last game of that doubleheader.
It's setting up to be a couple interesting weeks because there is a chance Carroll and Kemper could both have home games week 9 and the following week, because Carroll would then be hosting a playoff game too. Kemper likely playing another first round, you know, another home game, assuming they keep winning. Great problem to have if you're the city of Carroll, which it was kind of fun. I had the mayor, Jerry Fleshner, in the broadcast booth with me tonight. At one point, Carroll and Kemper were leading a combined 98-0. They finished 98-6. It was a good night for the city.
Yeah, and I mean, Nick, I know you got a long drive ahead of you now going back to Ames there. We're going to step away. We'll hear from Coach Brian Case about their game tonight.
New Way Ford in Coon Rapids and Pocahontas is proud to sponsor our area teams because supporting our communities is what we're all about. When it comes time to buy your next new or used vehicle, look here first. At New Way Ford, you'll find a great selection, fair prices, and a team that makes the car buying process easy, relaxed, and fun. Plus, with free oil changes for life, you can drive with confidence long after the sale. New Way Ford in Coon Rapids and Pocahontas.
Welcome to the New Way Auto Group Scoreboard Show. With me tonight now is the head man of the South Central Calhoun Titans, Brian Case. The Titans fell to Manson Northwest Webster tonight, 31-14. Coach, a little rough go tonight, or what happened?
Yeah, absolutely, it was a rough go. I mean, we came into this ball game knowing that we had an opportunity to give ourselves a chance to get in the first or second place. We need to beat Manson by 14 plus, and we didn't do that, obviously. I came out in the very first quarter. We had first possession. We went 3-and-out. Not only did we go 3-and-out, we ended up getting our first punt blocked. They went right in and scored. They made it 12-0 right away. And that was the halftime score as well, 12-0. So we just couldn't get anything going offensively, defensively. You know, you got to give credit where credit is due. I thought that they ran their sprinter series really well. They're very disciplined, very well coached, and they ran at a high level tonight. So we had our hands full with these guys, but, you know, credit our kids. We came back in the second half, and after the very first series in the second half, Manson took it to within three plays, I think it was. They marched all the way down the field to make it 20-0. Our kids bounced right back. We scored. It was 20-8. We kicked an onside accidentally, but we ended up getting that covered up, and we had another opportunity to cut into the score, and we just didn't make it happen. So we didn't make enough plays. They did. Give credit where credit is due.
So offensively, did you have some success running the ball, throwing the ball? What got you going a little bit?
Yeah, we really couldn't do anything in the first half except right towards the end of the first half. We spread things out a little bit and started having some success that way. I think our longest run before that was maybe one run over 5 yards. So we were just really struggling in our full house tee to run the football at all. But once we started spreading some things out and getting their guys out of the mix a little bit, we started having a little bit more success both through the air and rushing the ball. I think if I heard correctly, I think Cade Higgins ended up with like 250 yards passing the ball or something like that, and he was distributing the ball pretty well. But it was just too little, too late.
Yeah, some nights are like that, aren't they? Defensively tonight, did you have some standouts?
Yeah, I don't know if we had standouts. It was just one of those things. I mean, it's more of a scrum for what they do. So you got to play really good team defense. You got to have a lot of guys getting to the ball and so forth. And we really struggled to do that at times. I think Moline, number three, their main featured back, I think he had over 300 yards of offense tonight as well. So it was just really tough for our kids to to try and establish anything offensively, defensively, even special teams. The Manson was just a better team tonight. And like I said, I mean, they deserve to be where they're at right now. They're still in the lead of the district, and it looks like they're probably going to win the district. And yeah, moving forward for us, to be honest with you, I mean, we're going to have to show up next week in Pocahontas and try and win a football game that way, just to give ourselves a chance to make the postseason. So we've got our hands full here. We're going to try and take one step in front of the other and see what we can do next week.
Oh, okay. Now, so you said that with their, I thought I heard you say earlier, spinner. Do they run like a single wing type deal where they, or what kind of offense do they run?
There's pretty much three backs in the backfield, and they can snap to any one of the three backs at any given time. They pull a lot of people up front. They get a lot of people out in front as well. They'll run some unbalanced type of stuff as well. And if your kids don't get shifted over, they just got the numbers on you. So that's what that spinner series is all about. You start overcorrecting, you start getting too many people to one side, they'll come back to the weak side with it with a lot of numbers that way. So they executed a really high level. They did a really good job tonight.
Okay. Well, hey, let's see. You're at Pocahontas next week. I can tell you, if you didn't know, ESAC got them by 2 tonight, so.
I did not know that.
Yeah, ESAC beat them 30-28, so.
We still got to show up, and we got to play next week and just see what happens.
All righty. Hey, good luck next week, and we'll get you back on next week.
Sounds good.
Thanks. All right, that's been Brian Case, the head man of the South Central Calhoun Titans.
Big things are happening at Outlaw Graphics in Carroll. Outlaw Graphics is on the move, literally. They're excited to announce they've expanded into a brand new shop, bringing you more space, more capabilities, and even more ways to help your business, team, or your event stand out. From eye-catching vehicle wraps and commercial signage to custom apparel, if you want your logo on it, they can make it happen. Planning a special event? Make it memorable with personalized t-shirts, koozies, or hats designed just for you. Watch their new space come to life. Follow the excitement on Facebook at Outlaw Signs, Graphics, and Apparel.
Skip the ladder and hassle this holiday season. Let Curb Appeal of WCI light up your home. Hi, this is Scott. Our team custom installs bright, energy-efficient LED lights cut to the perfect length. Go for a clean, solid glow or a dazzling pattern that will wow the whole neighborhood. When the season ends, we'll take them down and store them for you next year and back it with a one-year warranty. Looking for something long-term? Ask about our permanent lighting system, perfect for holidays, game days, or any season. Curb Appeal, holiday lights, handmade, hassle-free. Call 712-210-9580 today.
When athletes are at peak performance, they need electrolytes and carbs to keep them fueled and in the game. Athletes who give 100% know to reach for Gatorade from Pepsi Beverages of Carroll. From the pros to high school to weekend athletes, Gatorade keeps you hydrated and keeps you in the game. Reach for Gatorade, brought to you by Pepsi Beverages of Carroll.
Back again on the New Way Forward Scoreboard Show here, Mason Nealon, Todd Danner, and Jim Molitor here, and a great week 7. Things are shaping up here, and we're already looking towards postseason. We're already looking towards district champions. We're looking towards all of kind of those accolades that everyone's trying to been chased since week 1.
Yeah, we're being skeptical on who's going to be where and stuff like that. You know, I mean, there's still a whole another week left, and things can change, but...
Yep.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I know from being on the Scoreboard Show last year, once it hits week 7 and week 8, it's a lot of numbers crunching to see who's in, who's out, who's where, who you think can end up somewhere. Yeah. But we'll take you through the scores here once again, starting with Class 3A District 6. Atlantic defeated Greene County 46-7. Harlan on their homecoming shut out Perry 63-0. And at Carroll here on KCIM pitched a shutout as well, 50-0.
Class 2A District 2, Kemper makes a long trip to Esterville and comes away with a big 48-6 victory over Esterville Lincoln Central. Okoboji with a nice 17-15 victory over OABCIG, and Spirit Lake rolls over Southeast Valley 56-27.
All right, in Class 1A District 2, it was Manson, Northwest Webster, sliding by South Central Calhoun 31-14. East Sac and a nail biter on a stop 2-point conversion defeats Pocahontas area 30-28, and Emmitsburg 37, South Hamilton 8.
Yeah, and that East Sac one, I mean, from what Jeff had texted me, there was a run to the left side on a two-point conversion to tie up the game. Cade Snyder wrapping him down at the goal line and taking it down. And I know, I don't know if what kind of the feeling was there. I know you talked to Coach McCullough. What were they thinking there?
Oh, they, you know, they were thinking, you know, obviously we got to stop them. And he said there was, I believe, and he says so in the interview, there was like three guys there that had him all bottled up. So, you know, the Cade or whoever you said got the tackle, and, you know, so great team effort and on that play for the Sac Raiders.
Yeah, good win for the Raiders.
Yeah, and if both teams, if I know they play better competition next week, if both teams were to lose, this game means that ESAC's in and Pokey's out when it comes to the postseason, so that's a huge game for them. Going to move our attention now to Class A District 8. We'll start at the bottom here. West Winona pitching a shutout versus Southwest Valley 40-0. St. Albert wins a close one over Akron Westfield 14-7. Woodbury Central defeated Loma 33-14. The IKEA Manning Wolves shut out Westwood at home 43-0.
Now I turn our attention to 8-man District 9. Audubon wraps up the district championship tonight with a big 86-30 victory over Coon Rapids Baird. Exire Elkhorn Kimmelton rolls over Glenn Ralston 54-18. And Cam in district play rolls over Griswold 60-6. In the non-district play, our Weaver Rockets travel to Newell and pick up a big 61-39 victory over Newell Fonda.
You know, we talk about that Coon Rapids game. We heard from Sean Burks a little bit earlier. We're going to step away. We're here from Nathan Lindsay about the other side of that game, as well as Corey McCarver about their big game this week.
You're listening to the New Way Ford Scoreboard Show. I'm Tom Hawkapp, now joined by Nathan Lindsay, the head coach for the Coon Rapids Baird Crusaders. And, Coach, you kind of brought in a tough team tonight, senior night for your team, but the Wheelers rolled in here. You guys came out, and it looked like we were going to see a little fisticuffs there to start things off, a couple quick drives, and everybody scoring points tonight.
Yeah, you know, both teams got out of the gate really well. You know, for two defensive teams, you know, we both put up points really fast, and, you know, it was one of those that I think it was kind of like, oh, hang on to your chairs and see, you know, who can score the quickest. But all in all, against a good team like Audubon, we didn't execute well, and it hurt us, and obviously Audubon capitalized on a lot of our mistakes.
Early on, you guys were able to get Ethan Bauer the ball, and he was able to kind of find the seams to bust those big plays, but they made some changes, and they weren't going to let him kind of get through that line anymore.
Yeah, our biggest thing was, you know, it has been all season, is when our offensive line does their job and our running backs do their job, big plays like that happen. Obviously against good teams, you know, the holes aren't necessarily going to be as big as they, you know, have been in, you know, week one, week two, but it was just good teams like Audubon. You know, when we don't execute, when we take, you know, the one play off, Audubon hurts us, and, you know, in our offense, we can't get behind schedule, and we just did it too much tonight.
You know, you've got a pretty good defensive line. They're very aggressive, and I think a couple of times they were right there, looked like they were going to have the play, and then somehow the Audubon defender just wiggled out of it, and then there was nobody else there to catch him. I mean, defensively, you're real close to having them tonight.
Yeah, that's kind of been our Achilles heel all season is, you know, we're right there, but we don't finish the play. And that's kind of what we've been stressing to the guys is just, hey, you got to want to play defense just as much as they do offense. You know, we're in the right spots. You know, we're putting scheming-wise, like we're putting them in the right spots. We just don't finish. So, I think we just got to, you know, really, really emphasize this headed into the last regular season week and see what we can do. Because, again, I mean, good teams these past 2 weeks hurt you when you don't do your job and don't, you know, finish plays. Like, it doesn't really mean anything if you're there, but let them run right by you.
Yeah, the schedulers didn't do you too many favors here the last 2 weeks, getting two of them back-to-back like that with not much of a break in between.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a tough 2 weeks, but all in all, it's good for us. You know, kind of builds, you know, the strength, the toughness of, hey, like, yes, these teams are good, but this is where we want to be, and this is how good we can be when we, you know, do our job consistently on both sides of the ball.
You guys were celebrating the seniors tonight, and that's always a big part of every program, especially in these smaller schools, the leadership that they put out here game in and game out for you. So tell us a little bit about the seniors that have really been leading this squad for you guys.
Yeah, these seniors, you know, I've been with them 2 years now, with last year as assistant and then this year with head coach. They show up every day and get to work. They, you know, they've been through a lot. They've been through a lot just these past 2 years I've been here. So I'm just really proud of them. We wouldn't be where we were at successfully without them. They they hold the bar high for all the younger guys, and you know, it's, you know, they paved the brick. They're laying that first foundation of, you know, what this program can be.
Next week you get the Glidden-Ralston squad up there. It's a team I'm sure you've seen pop up on some film, probably not studied too hard with all the other games you've had, but what do you know about them, and what do you guys got to do to go finish the season with a W?
Yeah, you know, we've seen them on film just based off previous opponents that we're getting ready for, but biggest thing is, like, we know what they bring to the table, they know what we bring to the table. It's just one of those games where you can throw everything out the window, and it's Kuhn versus Glidden, and just going to be one of those big heavyweight fights. You know, we're going to have to contain their athletes. They got a handful of good athletes. They like to run the ball. Their defense flies around and makes plays. So we're going to have our hands full, but I'm excited for this week.
Is there still a little bit of a rivalry game there too?
I think so. I think, you know, a lot of our guys are close with their guys. You know, we share wrestling, you know, stuff like that. So I think there's some just friendly bantering going back and forth, but and then just from being filled in years past, just one of those classic rivalries since they're 10 minutes away.
Let's talk a little bit about this team and maybe some of the guys that we didn't catch on the stat charts that you thought really stood out tonight.
I think, you know, offensively, Tucker Lewis has been doing a great job. He's, you know, came in these past 2 weeks getting pretty much thrown to the wolves against two ranked teams with Caden being out, and he's done nothing but great things. Defensively, you know, Sam Hoffman came out, and after nursing a knee injury, came out and didn't even look like he missed a beat. So those are just two guys. I'll watch the film and see if I can, you know, pick out more. But two guys that, you know, just show up every day and just, you know, handle that adversity and do what they're coached, and you can't ask that out of them.
Coach, I greatly appreciate your time, and best of luck next week.
Yeah, thank you.
That is the head coach for the Coon Rapids Baird Crusaders, Nathan Lindsay. You're listening to the New Way Forward Scoreboard Show. I'm Tom Hawkapp.
From bump, set, spike to the crack of the bat, at Motor Inn of Carroll, we love our high school sports. And we love the opportunity to support our local schools, athletes, coaches, and parents. Through the hard work of our kids, we get the enjoyment of watching and listening to their activities. Other life lessons, like teamwork and citizenship, help create outstanding young women and men we are so proud to sponsor. Good luck to all of our local sports teams. From Motor Inn of Carroll.
When athletes are at peak performance, they need electrolytes and carbs to keep them fueled and in the game. Athletes who give 100% know to reach for Gatorade from Pepsi Beverages of Carroll. From the pros to high school to weekend athletes, Gatorade keeps you hydrated and keeps you in the game. Reach for Gatorade, brought to you by Pepsi Beverages of Carroll.
This is Todd Danner, and you're listening to the New Way Auto Scoreboard Show. With me right now is IKM Manning head coach Corey McCarville. The Wolves pick up a big 43-0 victory tonight over Westwood of Sloan at home against the Rebels. That win moves IKM Manning to 3-2 in Class A District 8 and 5-2 overall. Corey, 43-0, you have to be really pleased with the shutout tonight.
Yeah, we were able to do a lot of really good things. We were able to, you know, have some success in the passing game, have some success in the running game. You know, a lot of guys made a lot of really, really nice plays. We were able to get some turnovers. Yeah, it was just a good all-around game for everybody.
Offensively, defensively, just take me through the drives a little bit. Did you have any big plays, or sustained drives, or what happened tonight?
It was a lot of sustained drives. I don't have the stat sheet in front of me right now. I know we had a lot of long drives. I think we had like 28 first downs or something like that.
That's a lot.
I know Wyatt Danner had some really nice catches. Davis Rasmussen had some nice runs. I mean, it wasn't a lot of home run plays. It was just a lot of 8, 10, 12-yard plays throughout the game. I was just happy with how we executed across the board.
I was going to say, yeah, like I said, putting drives together like that, you had to be real pleased with offensively. Let's see, the win now, it moves you to, like I said, 3-2 in the district, and it keeps you right there for the postseason.
Yeah, you know, we felt like we had an opportunity to potentially, you know, get to the playoffs. Hopefully we continue with that. We'll keep working hard. You know, there's still things that we still have to improve upon. A pass pro's got to get a little bit better. Our tackling at times tonight wasn't great. I know we had a shutout, but, you know, we had some missed tackles. And,
you know, if we're going to make a run of the playoffs, those are things we got to get cleaned up.
I was just going to ask you that. What are some of the things after tonight's ball game that you found that you need to work on for next week?
Yeah, just like I said, we had some, you know, a couple drives in the second quarter where our pass throw wasn't where it needs to be. You know, we had a couple just run fit along the offensive line mistakes that we got to get fixed. You know, we rotated some more guys along the offensive line. That's part of it. You know, we mis-executed on a few plays. You know, we just kind of got crossed up on responsibilities a little bit. And those are just little things that we just got to fix.
All right. Let's see. Next week, Coach, you, I think, is it West Monona on the schedules next week?
Yep. We go down to Ottawa, West Monona.
And I see they won. They won 40-0.
We haven't played them in. I can't even remember the last time we played there. It's been a long time. They run. You know, we know that they're going to run the double wing, and we're going to have to stop the run. And we're going to have to be really solid up front. So it's going to be a challenge.
I know they won 40-0 tonight over Southwest Valley. So I know I talked to you earlier in the season about Akron Westfield not knowing them much. So this must be another team that you don't know a whole lot about, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I know that they beat Westwood at Sloan last week in overtime, and I'm not even sure who they played this week off. But I mean, I'll watch the tape, but yeah.
Southwest Valley.
They played Southwest Valley. Okay.
140-0.
Oh, okay. Well, very good. It'll be a challenge.
Yeah, so what did you tell the guys after the ball game tonight? Man, obviously, 43-0 victory. The kids have to be pretty pleased going off the field.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were happy. They took steps in the right direction. Everybody's healthy. And hopefully we'll start getting a couple guys back that are somewhat nicked that didn't play this week. So, yeah, hopefully we get all of our guys back and we'll keep pushing forward.
All right, I tell you what, Corey, I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me tonight and wish you the best of luck next week against the Spartans.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Coach.
Clogged gutters, dirty windows, lint-filled dryer vents. Don't wait till it's too late. At Curb Appeal of WCI, we make home care simple. Our gutter cleaning protects your roof and foundation from costly water damage. Our dryer vent cleaning improves airflow, lowers energy bills, and reduces fire risk. And our window cleaning leaves your home brighter, streak-free, and full of natural light. Protect your home, save money, enjoy the view. Call Curb Appeal of WCI today at 712-210-9580.
From bump, set, spike to the crack of the bat. At Motor Inn of Carroll, we love our high school sports. And we love the opportunity to support our local schools, athletes, coaches, and parents. Through the hard work of our kids, we get the enjoyment of watching and listening to their activities. Other life lessons like teamwork and citizenship help create outstanding young women and men we are so proud to sponsor. Good luck to all of our local sports teams. From Motor Inn of Carroll.
Feld Fire of Carroll is the choice of homeowners and business professionals. They chose Feld Fire because of the local and prompt service, 24/7 technician support, and the ability to control their security device from their mobile device. That makes keeping your property safer even easier. A professional Feld representative can help you create a protection plan for your home or business. No matter what you're trying to protect, they've got you covered. Feld Fire of Carroll, proud supporters of our area high school athletes.
Bruner, Bruner, Reinhardt, and Morton is a general practice law firm that's been providing highly ethical, professional, and dedicated legal services to their clients since 1936 in Carroll, Glidden, Coon Rapids, and Guthrie Center communities. Bruner, Bruner, Reinhardt, and Morton is a four-attorney firm with a combined 97 years of experience. For more information, call Barry, Dave, Eric, or Jessica at 792-3480 or visit brunerlegal.com.
New Way Ford in Coon Rapids and Pocahontas is proud to sponsor our area teams because supporting our communities is what we're all about. When it comes time to buy your next new or used vehicle, look here first. At New Way Ford, you'll find a great selection, fair prices, and a team that makes the car buying process easy, relaxed, and fun. Plus, with free oil changes for life, you can drive with confidence long after the sale. New Way Ford in Coon Rapids and Pocahontas.
Back on the New Way Ford Scoreboard Show, and there's a special button I've always wanted to push here. I've never had the power to push it because Honnold's always been the one to do it or tell me to do it. But we're talking a little bit about a certain time of the year, and it's about to be at that playoff time.
Playoffs? Don't talk about
Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
You know, and I know Jeff Honnold, if he's listening right now, he's got that. He's kind of happy that I played that one there. I haven't touched it all year. I don't know if Casey's touched it or not, but I've always wanted to do that. So we'll start reading scores here in the 8-man District 9 first. We'll do our Audubon and Coon Rapids Baird matchup, where Audubon picked up a 86-30 win. Exire EHK beat Glidden-Ralston 54-18. Arweva beat Newell Fonda 61-39. And Cam toppled Griswold 62-6.
All right, Class A District 8. IKM Manning shuts out Westwood of Sloan 43-0. Woodbury Central rolls over Logan Magnolia 33-14. Consuelo St. Albert 14, Akron Westfield 7. And West Winona shuts out Southwest Valley 40-0.
All right, here we go. Class 1A District 2. It was South Central Calhoun falling to Manson Northwest Webster 31-14. East Sac in a nail biter over Pocahontas area 30-28. And Emmitsburg defeats South Hamilton 37-8.
Move our attention now to Class 2A District 2, where Kemper defeated ELC to stay perfect there 48-6. Okoboji barely getting over OABCIG 17-15, and Spirit Lake picking up their first district win 56-27.
And in Class 3A District 6, three blowouts tonight. Carroll shuts out Creston 50-0. Harlan shuts out Perry 63-0, and Atlantic rolls over Greene County 46-7.
Yeah, and the way this is shaping up here, I know Nick had talked about it. Jim, you weren't in here, but if Carroll wins out, Kemper wins out, you're possibly seeing Carroll host their Week 9 game with Kemper at home as well for their playoff game, and then Week 10 could possibly be two Carroll teams hosting playoff games back-to-back if they end up winning out.
Well, you know, that'd be great. The stadium will get some use.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be using it all the way up until Week 10, possibly Week 11 if both teams win, and Carroll's still the highest team there. It'll be a fun one, but, I mean, this week, you look at all those scores there, you know, it was that East Sac game has stuck out to me. I know the Kemper game has stuck out to me, but one that really stuck out to me, and it wasn't even one of our local games, Okoboji, OABCIG. Okoboji, I mean, every game that they have won in that district has been within one score, if not even just a couple points.
Yeah, it's they were close, and, you know, for the longest time we were surfing for scores and seeing what was finals, and it was 15-14 OABCIG until we got to the final. So be interesting to see how long the field goal was, if it was just short one or a long one. Or
Sets up a nice game next week on Carroll here with the Kemper hosting the Okoboji.
Yeah, it should be a fun week for that here. We're closing in on the 11 o'clock hour here coming up in just a little bit. We can talk a little more as well. I mean, that Kemper matchup 48-6 here. The other one I wanted to look at, Class 1A District 2, South Central Calhoun falling to Manson Northwest Webster. You'll see it somehow shake out being Manson 1, Emmitsburg 2, South Central Calhoun 3 if all teams were to kind of win next week and keep moving on there. But for Coach Case, I know one of you guys interviewed him. I can't remember.
I did.
It was you, Jim. What did he have to say kind of about that game and what they had done?
Well, he said that they struggled a little bit with, you know, stopping what Manson wanted to do, and they must run a different type of offense, and when they come out, you got to kind of shift a little bit, and they were struggling with getting the shifts made, and then in their blocking schemes, Manson will try to take advantage of, you know, get out and get on you, and, you know, they can get some nice long runs and, you know, get some good yardage.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that, too, East Sac beating Pocahontas area. Both teams are to win or lose next week. That was kind of it for both teams. It's if you win, you're in, and you lose, and your season's kind of up in the air at that point. It's going to be a tough one for Pocahontas area. I know they're traveling to face South Central Calhoun. Or actually, I think they host South Central Calhoun next week. And then East Sac's traveling to face Emmitsburg. So both facing teams are a little bit higher than them. But, I mean, it was a good week for football in general.
Yeah, I mean, our teams did pretty well.
Yeah, we're going to keep it here. We got about, let's say, a couple of seconds. We got probably 50 seconds here, but, you know, what was your guys' biggest takeaways looking at either the scores or talking to coaches? What was kind of the things that stood out to you this week?
Well, you're looking at the 8-man play. I mean, obviously, Audubon, you know, playing for the district championship tonight, hosting, the, you know, or playing at Coon Rapids Baird. you know, and then going into that game with both teams having a chance to win the district title tonight. And I think Ottoman, like you said, Ottoman set the tone right away and made a statement that, you know, they're definitely a team to be reckoned with in the state in the postseason coming up. So, you know, they're sitting right where they want to sit going into their final game of the regular season next week. And then, you know, Weaver went on a non-district action tonight, took on a, you know, usually a good New Ofana team has been down the last couple of years, but came up with a big victory over there tonight. And, you know, East Sac County picking up a big two-point victory tonight. Got to feel good for Eric McCullough and the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, eight-man's going to be fighting tooth and nail all the way down. You look at everything that's going on there, you're going to have probably six teams at the top that are going to be undefeated there. We're going to step away, though, at the top of the hour. We're going to let the legal ID play, and we'll come right back, read you more scores on the New Way Auto Group Scoreboard Show.
When you need to know, KCIM is the place to listen on 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.
This is KCIM Carroll.
From bump, set, spike to the crack of the bat, at Motor Inn of Carroll, we love our high school sports. And we love the opportunity to support our local schools, athletes, coaches, and parents. Through the hard work of our kids, we get the enjoyment of watching and listening to their activities. Other life lessons, like teamwork and citizenship, help create outstanding young women and men we are so proud to sponsor. Good luck to all of our local sports teams. From Motor Inn of Carroll.
New Way Ford in Coon Rapids and Pocahontas is proud to sponsor our area teams because supporting our communities is what we're all about. When it comes time to buy your next new or used vehicle, look here first. At New Way Ford, you'll find a great selection, fair prices, and a team that makes the car buying process easy, relaxed, and fun. Plus, with free oil changes for life, you can drive with confidence long after the sale. New Way Ford in Coon Rapids and Pocahontas.
Bruner, Bruner, Reinhart & Morton is a general practice law firm that's been providing highly ethical, professional, and dedicated legal services to their clients since 1936 in Carroll, Glidden, Coon Rapids, and Guthrie Center communities. Bruner, Bruner, Reinhart & Morton is a four-attorney firm with a combined 97 years of experience. For more information, call Barry, Dave, Eric, or Jessica at 792-3480 or visit brunerlegal.com.
Welcome back. Top of the hour, the New Way Ford Scoreboard Show. Jeff Blankman's probably only about 30 minutes from being home now, so we're counting down the clock there. I think we're all enjoying our time without him here right now. I know he's listening to us, but we get a little break here. We're going to start with our scores in Class 3A, District 6, with the Carroll Tigers shutting out Creston 50-0. Harlan shut out Perry 63-0, and then Greene County fell to Atlantic 46-7.
Okay, Class 2A, District 2. Kemper Catholic makes a long trip to Estherville tonight and comes and returns home with a big 48-6 victory over Estherville Lincoln Central. In another tight ball game, Okoboji 17, OABCIG 15, and Spirit Lake rolls over Southeast Valley 56-27.
All right, in Class 1A, District 2, it was Emmitsburg over South Hamilton 37-8. There are two local teams in that district, East Sac with a 30-28 victory, homecoming victory over Pocahontas area, and South Central Calhoun falls to Manson Northwest Webster 31-14.
You know, I just got a tweet pulled up here that says, if you have the final scores of these games, let us know. And the first one, Woodbury Central, Logan Magnolia. And so we're talking about Class A at District 8 here, if the Bound people are listening. Woodbury Central defeated Loma 33-14. Ikea Manning shut out Westwood 43-0. St. Albert beating Akron Westfield in a close one 14-7. And West Monona defeating Southwest Valley 40-0.
All right, 8-man District 9. Ottoman Wheelers continue to roll, move to 7-0, and claim the 8-man District 9 championship tonight with an 86-30 victory over Coon Rapids Barrett on the road. Exire Elkhorn Kimbleton rolls over Glidden Rawlson 54-18, and Cam knocks off Griswold in district play 60-6. In a non-district matchup over at Newell, the Weaver Rockets travel to Newell and pick up a big 61-39 victory.
And then, we're going to look at a lot of these scores here, but the two that had interested me first was that East Sac one. We're going to hear from Coach Eric McCullough coming up here in just a minute on our New Way Ford Scoreboard Show.
New Way Auto Group.
New Way Ford in Coon Rapids and Pocahontas is proud to sponsor our area teams because supporting our communities is what we're all about. When it comes time to buy your next new or used vehicle, look here first. At New Way Ford, you'll find a great selection, fair prices, and a team that makes the car buying process easy, relaxed, and fun. Plus, with free oil changes for life, you can drive with confidence long after the sale. New Way Ford in Coon Rapids and Pocahontas.
Welcome to the New Way Auto Group Scoreboard Show. With me right now is the head man of the East Sac Raiders, Eric McCullough. The Raiders, with a homecoming victory over Pocahontas area, 30-28. Congratulations, Coach. How was that game tonight?
We knew it was going to be a pretty good, tight matchup, I think, for us. And it was, both sides. I mean, it was evenly matched teams. We could probably, run the ball and had a lot of success that way. They did a lot more throwing the ball and kind of getting outside of the pocket, just making big plays. So it was just, I think for the fans, it was probably pretty entertaining. I think for us coaches, a little bit more nerves, I think, than anything. But for our kids and stuff, to start off with, they kicked off to us. We drove down and scored. Had a nice series of plays there. I think capped off with Dawson Allen, I believe, scored on that one. And then I'm not even sure. I think Carson Schmidt got the two-point conversion, so we go up 8-0. We stop them. We get the ball back. We're able to drive down again, just kind of running the ball a little bit here and there, a little misdirection. And Carson Schmidt gets in for a touchdown. And then Weston Doolin was able to run a little counterplay with the quarterback position to get us to 2-point. So we're up 16-0. Then we kicked off to them, and then Pokey, he just made some plays. I mean, just made some big plays. We had them in positions we wanted, third and long, and then they just kind of get a big pass play, or he'd break the quarterback, break loose, and run. They scored, and then I believe they got the 2 points, so we were up 16-8 at half. We come back out, or I believe it was 16-6, I think. I don't remember exactly, Jim, but kind of went back and forth. And then they scored, but then we scored again. I think on our first series in the second half, Carson Schmidt broke an 80-yard touchdown run down the sideline. And that's the one thing. It's great. Great play. Kids did a great job, but you kind of look back on it like, wish we could have taken a little bit more time in the drive, but it's great to have those big explosive plays. We haven't had them for a lot of years, so for the kids to kind of have that stuff is a lot of fun. And then Pokey answered and scored back and forth. Late in the fourth quarter, Pokey was going down, little quarterback scramble. Carson Schmidt came up, laid a heck of a hit on him. He fumbled the ball. We recovered it on the 4. So we took the ball and we ran a couple plays, but of course they loaded the box. We didn't get a lot of yards. So then we punted it, and I believe there was 2 minutes or something like that left on the clock. So they got the ball back, pretty good field position. They made some plays, and of course that time we were up 30-22, and then they scored, and they went to go for 2 to tie it up, and they had an empty package. I believe it was an empty quarterback. Sat the ball, tried to run to the weak side. We just had 3 guys in good position, made a tackle, stopped the ball with 2-point conversion. So then I believe there's a minute 28 left, I think, on the clock when they kicked off. And we had our hands team out there. We were able to recover it. We ran 1 play, and then we kneeled on it twice and walked away with a real tight homecoming victory.
Boy, I tell you what, you talked about that long run, and especially for a homecoming, that can be a real boost for especially like the fans to get them excited, plus the kids. I understand what you're saying about you wanting to take time off the clock, but but you got to take those because that's a big momentum builder.
It was, and there's a couple other things I think the coaching staff we were talking about. when Pokey scored right there before half, I think stopping them on that 2-point was a good motivation for us too. I mean, our kids didn't start hanging their heads. They made a big play. And then we got the ball back there before halftime, and we ran a couple trick plays. And some of it worked a little bit, but we just kind of came up short of scoring there. I think we got the ball with like a minute 10, and we had all three timeouts and tried to make some plays, just some things you kind of practice, you know, for fun. So I think we're able to walk into halftime because it seems like in the past we would have a big play and then the other team would score right before half and either take the lead or tie it up for us. And I think our kids, just a mental part of it. So tonight I think it was good that we made that defensive play in the 2-point conversion, and then we had a chance to score too. So I think our kids went in with good spirits at halftime, and, you know, and motivated to come back out.
Yeah, you know, and then that stopping that 2-point, that had to be the highlight of their season.
Yeah, it was. I mean, and it was a great crowd with homecoming. You know, it was a nice night for football. So
you bet.
There's a good crowd both sides. It was a fun atmosphere for, you know, Friday nights and high school football, and the kids did a great job. Really came out, and, you know, ups and downs, and we had to make some plays to stay in the game, and, you know, we made them earn every part of it. On the defensive side, you know, we laid some hits, and we took their starting quarterback went out, but they brought in another kid, and I tell you what, that kid was just as good and made some plays, so it challenged us a little bit more. But our kids adjusted and did the things we asked them to do.
All right. I see you got to make a trip to Emmitsburg next week. You know, you've played Emmitsburg. You know what they do. It's going to be a good week of preparation to get ready for that, isn't it?
It is. You know, it's just the same stuff they've been successful at for a lot of years. And you watch it, and it's just so simple, but it's just really hard to stop. And I think another motivation is when Pokey played them here, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, Pokey played them to 7 points. You know, so that's a big motivation for us to be able to beat Pocahontas and then know that, you know, Emmitsburg, and that's attainable. You know, we can go out and do some things and have some success. And I know it's a long trip, but I just feel it's a big win for us today and tonight, and should give us some motivation for next week.
All right. Hey, enjoy the homecoming victory, and we'll talk to you again.
Hey, we appreciate it. Thank you, Jim.
All right, that's been Eric McCullough with the East Sac Raiders.
Big things are happening in Outlaw Graphics in Carroll. Outlaw Graphics is on the move, literally. They're excited to announce they've expanded into a brand new shop, bringing you more space, more capabilities, and even more ways to help your business, team, or your event stand out. From eye-catching vehicle wraps and commercial signage to custom apparel, if you want your logo on it, they can make it happen. Planning a special event? Make it memorable with personalized t-shirts, koozies, or hats designed just for you. Watch their new space come to life. Follow the excitement on Facebook at Outlaw Signs, Graphics, and Apparel.
Welcome to the New Way Auto Group Scoreboard Show. With me now is the Glidden-Ralston Wildcat head coach Dave Prescott. The Wildcats fell tonight to Exira Elkhorn Kimbleton 54-18. And Dave, tell us a little bit about the game.
Well, you know, we kind of came out. We kept pace with them in the first half. We were running. They were going score for score. They made their extra points. We didn't. I think we were down by 4 at halftime or 6. And second half, we just kind of ran out of guys and we ran out of juice. So we kind of ended up stretching it out a little bit, and I was proud of the guys, the way they played and the effort and everything, you know, being as shorthanded as we were, and there's guys in positions that had never been on the varsity field for, you know, quite a bit, so they made a big contribution, and I'm just proud of the way everybody did.
Yeah, you know, we kind of talked about beforehand, the injury bug kind of bit you a little bit, so that was part of it. So who played well, or for you offensively and defensive tonight?
Well, the Roarbeck boys both played really pretty well. You know, we had got a lot of good defense out of them. They, you know, pretty well moved our offense and did that type of stuff. You know, can't ask more out of them, you know. Our line actually did pretty well. You know, Ryan Olderog and Derek Harrison and them, you know, we ran a lot of plays right at them, and we gained some yards and everything. It was good to see things like that happening. And then we had a lot of young guys that stepped up and played. You know, Evan Anderson was out there, and Colby Siebenhaller, and a lot of these guys that have been JV guys all year, and they were asked to step up, and I thought they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, you know, it's tough for those that haven't had a lot of varsity experience, and then, you know, like you said, the injury bug, and, you know, so now you're putting people in different positions. So how did the kids pretty well handle that, you know, changing, just trying to fill in wherever they could?
Yeah, it's a big deal, you know, that we had some guys who were running backs who were playing, you know, in the line, and we had some other guys who were doing stuff that, you know, we preach that in practice, and we preach it all through the year that we want everybody to know how to do everything. And they do such a good job at doing that in practice. You know, it came across pretty good. You know, there's still some kinks that need to be worked out when they do that, but it worked out well, and I thought we played pretty well overall.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about that, it's a different ball game when you're doing it in practice than now you're playing somebody else that's a little more prepared. Yeah, they're more prepared.
Yeah, so. You know, they do what they do better than what our young guys do in scout teams. So
exactly.
It kind of works out that way.
Exactly. Well, hey, I see we got you on the radio here next week hosting the Coon Rapids Baird Crusaders. So what do you know about them, and what are you anticipating?
You know, it's usually a pretty good game. It's a pretty good rivalry. You know, they'll come up, and it looks like they do a lot of running and everything. You know, we're going to have to gear ourselves up to stop that. I think hopefully we'll get a couple guys back, and maybe that'll make a little bit of difference to get us to be a little more competitive with stuff. But, you know, if not, the group that we had tonight did a good job, and I'd look for them to step up and play well if they had the opportunity next week.
Well, that's good. Well, but that's what you want as a coach. You want them to step up and just go out there and play your best and your hardest, and where the chips fall.
Yeah. It's just part of the game at the end of the year, you know, all the bumps and bruises and dings, and, you know, guys that are kind of been nursing them all year, they kind of sometimes either get better or they get worse, and we've kind of had it turn the wrong way, but hopefully it'll get turned around and we can have one more shot at it and put a W up on the column.
All right. Hey, thanks for talking to us tonight. That's been Dave Prescott, the head man of the Glidden-Ralston Wildcats.
Since 1968, Mackey Motors has been serving Lake City and the surrounding communities with new and certified pre-owned vehicles. Mackey Motors is a full-service dealership providing oil changes in our Quick Lube Express bays, a service department with world-class trained technicians, a body shop and collision center with the latest equipment, a full vehicle detailing department, or come talk with one of our highly knowledgeable sales staff.
Recipient of the GM Mark of Excellence Award for 16 years running. Together, let's drive at Mackey Motors in Lake City. MackeyMotors.com.
New Way Forward scoreboard show here tonight on Kick 106.7 and, of course, 1380 AM, 95.1 FM, KCM. Kemper winning 48-6 on the road at Astroville Lincoln Central. Joining me right now is head coach Ryan Steinkamp. Coach, you and I talked earlier this week. You felt confident coming in. You had to really like the way your team played here tonight.
Yeah, I mean, they've been working really hard, too, and the guys executed, and I was really, really proud of the overall effort. Saw a lot of great things, a lot of kids tonight, too, all three phases, so it was a lot of fun. I'm really proud of our kids.
Defense really set the tempo early on. You guys stuffed them on their opening drive. I know that they did a couple of things every now and then, but I really liked the way you guys got into the backfield. Lucas Deal tonight, Sean Healy, those guys seemed to, you know, Keneally, they seemed to live in the backfield.
Yeah, they got motor, too. You know, sometimes they come back to bite them in the butt.
Yep.
You know, they caught us on a draw one time. But the kids, you know, they recognize it. They're just getting smarter every game too, and being more disciplined too. So yeah, really, really proud of their efforts.
Let's talk about the offense. You know, you score on the first six possessions of the game, all of those in the first half. But to five of those possessions, you cost yourself 5 yards. It didn't seem to end up hurting you. But as a coach, were you okay with those kind of penalties on every possession in that first half?
No, those were the ones that they were controllable.
Yep.
Neutral zone, center moving ball, not enough guys in the line. Like, no, it was stuff like day one type stuff. And the referee crew did a great job of talking to us about those things. because like you know, there's five things that have been happening all year that we haven't been called on. So it's good to get those cleaned up this time of year.
And is that something that you know you talk to the guys about? Even with a 48-6 win, are you looking for things to still say we need to improve here? We need to improve here.
Yeah, those basics that never go away.
The run game tonight, you start off with a run to Jaron Hoffman. He looked pretty solid. I thought the offensive line was doing a nice job of opening holes. What did you see from their defense? What were they trying to do to stop the run game, and how were you guys able to execute so well?
Yeah, I mean, they're bringing double pressure off the edge there, too, and they did a nice job. You know, we weren't getting a lot out there, so then we kind of just, like, we leaned our guys up front. Like this, we just attacked them, you know, A and B gap, and they got, you know, able to get 7, 8, 9, 10 yards, and that really kind of got our offense going, I felt like.
I know you like to be balanced. I think I had you 336 yards at halftime, 195 through the year, 380 some on the ground. So why is it that this team needs to be so balanced? Is it because you have so many weapons?
Yeah, this complement each other too, you know, and that's the thing we talk about, you know, offense, defense, you know, having each other's back too. You know, if run game's not going there, you have to pass it, make plays, you know, and then same thing off, if our pass game's going, you know, the run game can really get going with that too.
Brock does a nice job of mixing the ball around. How have you seen him grow the last few years at a quarterback of reading the defense and taking what they're giving him?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, he obviously got a great arm and he's a great kid. But, yeah, he does. He knows that, hey, we're good with getting 5 yards. Can get 5 yards, we get a first down. They have other opportunities and shots and things like that, too. You know, defenses might get impatient and blitz us or whatever. And, just, you know, and those guys put a ton of time into it. There's a lot of trust into it. And the play doesn't work, you know, they talk to each other, like, how do we fix it? What can do better? Or how to adjust their route type deal thing, too. And a lot of it goes to, you know, the offensive coaches and those kids putting in a lot of work.
Well, how much film do those guys watch to kind of know what they're going to see?
Quite a bit. You know, they definitely get up there. I know an offensive coaches do a lot, put a good game plan together, do a good job of sharing film with them and stuff like that, too. And, yeah, we always kind of say during football season, you know, huddle is our Netflix. You know, that's what it is. That's how it should be watching.
Griffin Glenn on that second touchdown tonight, that was a special play, just a little flare out into the flat. They look like they had it defended well, but he spins, makes two guys miss, and then it's a foot race down the sideline. You're not going to catch him.
Yeah, he's a strong kid that's got good speed. You know, he really works hard on that, too, and he plays with fire and passion. That's one thing I can say that Griffin does all the time is he plays hard and he's competitive.
What did you see from the offensive line tonight?
No, they did a great job. You know, one thing I kind of got on them a little bit is I wanted to make sure they're having more fun out there. You know, they were kind of having some, they were getting things going a little bit too. Like, guys, have some excitement and patch up. Like, you know, and, you know, like this is fun. This is what we want to do. We want to run the ball and get down and dirty in there and stuff too. So, yeah, but overall, like, they responded well to that too. It's one thing I love about our kids, they respond.
Astroville Lincoln Central went for it on fourth down several times in the first half. Did that surprise you guys at all? Or being they're 0-6, they didn't really feel probably like they had anything to lose, so they just kind of went for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, they have a lot of really good players, and they've gone through a fourth down previously. It's like we were kind of prepared for it. We really didn't, you know, apart from turns, like, I really didn't feel okay having them out there just because, like, hey, it's
right.
They're going to go for it. And they did several times, too, and our kids were in a great position to get those stops.
Looks like the defense was playing physical tonight. The Rezac kid and Coulter both go down at some point. Luckily, Coulter come back in. Rezac didn't really play the second half, but you got to like the aggressiveness of the defense.
Yeah, you know, I thought that our pursuit was good, too. We made some mistakes, but the kids came off and they were coachable and corrected them.
I joked with you before we came up during the week that, you know, I wanted continuous clock in the first half, and as a coach, you're not thinking those kind of things, so it was all just me having a little fun with you. But you got that opportunity, and then you had a chance to even extend it going into the halftime.
Yeah, that's great. You know, we got that turnover, and the kids wanted to put another one in, too. That's
right.
a great opportunity for those kids to do that. And then I just got to say, like, our kids that came in and played the second half, and defensively got a couple stops, too. I know they got their score on a fourth down tip pass.
Yes.
Our kids in the right spot, and, you know, going against their varsity guys yet, too. So, just really, yeah, really proud of everybody's effort tonight.
Easton Gifford takes the opening kickoff, second half back for a touchdown. You got so many guys that are so dangerous in kick and punt return.
Yeah. That Easton, this was his best return game of the year. He was aggressive. He was catching the punts. It's really great. He's only a sophomore, so it's really great to see him get that confidence going.
Is that something that you guys really work on, is catching the punts with Trav? Because he had guys right around him tonight.
Yeah. And, you know, it is tough. It depends on the punt, if it's bouncing and whatnot, too. But that's critical because that's just hitting yards. The punt rolls are 10, 15 yards, too. And, you know, it takes some guts to stand there and do that, too. And he's just getting more and more confident with that.
Yeah, I know the defense gave up the touchdown late, the backup guys, but they gave up some yardage. But every time that Astroville got down inside the 5 and 10 tonight until that last drive, they held up firm. It looked like they bowed up when they needed to until that last play.
Yeah, and then, you know, play a game of inches. The kids are in the right spot, a tip ball. And I know even they had that long pass by our safety just missed swiping it. So I was like, no, but our kids are being aggressive in the right spot. I can always live with that.
Well, Coach, I don't know if you had heard yet. 15-14 OABCAG over Okoboji starting the fourth quarter. That was the latest update I had. So any thoughts on that?
No, I can't. Nothing I can control there. I have zero control of that, too. You know, we're going to enjoy this one tonight, and then get ready for our opponent next week.
Well, appreciate you joining us here on the New Way Ford Scoreboard Show. We'll talk to you again coming up tomorrow morning for the Pizza Ranch Coaching Show.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
You bet. Head coach again, Ryan Steinkamp again from the Kemper Knights. Again, they win at Estherville Lincoln Central tonight by a final of 48-6.
Back again on the New Way Ford Scoreboard Show here in week 7 of the high school football season, and I mean, you heard from Ryan Steinkamp right there, his game 48-6, and it was 48-0 about until the fourth quarter when Kemper kind of said, you know, we're up 48-0, let's get this thing going. And ELC scored a touchdown there to make it 48-6, but I don't think that's any surprise that Kemper would pick up the win there.
No, probably not. Estherville hasn't won a game this year, if I'm reading this right. Yeah, they're 0-6, 0-7 now. So, you know, good win for the Knights. You know, they're going to have that good. They're going to have a good game next Friday. I think.
Yeah, like I said, especially mixed with the long road trip. You know, you want to go up there and take care of business, and it sounds like that's exactly what the Knights did tonight.
Yeah, and you know, we usually read the scores here. The one thing I do want to look at is the standings from our districts. When you look at the way that things have shaken out, as of Friday morning, you had Manson, Emmitsburg, South Central, Pocahontas, ESAC, South Hamilton. That district got a little shaken up there where it looks like ESAC's going to flip with Pokey there, and then it'll be kind of a race for that four spot, whoever can win next week, or if they both lose, it'll be ESAC. You look at the eight-man standings. I know they're not in order on the sheet, but you got the Audubon score, or the Audubon at one, but that eight-man one might be a tight race all the way until the end.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it's going to be interesting. You got Cam at 3-2, Coon Rapids Baird at 3-2, Arweva at 3-2, Exira Elkhorn Kimbleton at 3-2. So, you know, but Exira Elkhorn is playing Audubon next week, right? And then Coon's at Glidden. And Arweva, you said, was...
At Cam.
At Cam.
And they're at Cam.
At Cam. So, yeah, big games next week in that district.
Big games, that's going to probably... You know, we kind of talked about a little bit that, you know, the Coon-Audubon game tonight was, you know, that was 1-2 at that point in time, and now it's about anybody's ball game now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of... What? Cam's got a little edge over Coon. Coon's got an edge over Arweva.
Yeah,
Coon's got an advantage over Exira because they beat them too. So there's a lot of
as a coach and as fans, that's what you like to see going into the final week of the regular season. You know, you win and you got the chance to make the playoffs. Are good. If you lose, you know, more likely your season's done. So that's what you play for.
The other thing I wanted to update here, Mr. Nick Brinks, listening to the show, sent me a text about the Okoboji game. And here's how the kind of final 2:30 went there, is that Okoboji had a 29-yard field goal to take the lead there, and they doinked it off of the upright, and it just barely goes over the crossbar, and they win that one there on a defensive stand. I mean, if they lose that game, it makes that final game against Kemper a little different, but them winning it there makes it interesting because both teams are undefeated. Both teams are top three teams in that class, and they're going to come down here to Carroll looking to try and win the district, and Kemper trying to stay perfect, trying to win the district as well.
Exactly, and, you know, that would have changed things up a little bit with OABCIG, too, if they would have got that win, because then they would have been in a tie with Okoboji.
You know, I don't know how coaches look at it, but, no, you know, if I'm looking at it, I'm thinking – I'm glad Okoboji won. You know, I want them to come down here next week and see what happens in that final game, you know, for that district championship and see what we can do against them. So I'm happy that they won.
Yeah, I know a lot of coaches don't like the whole mess of this team beat this team, this team beat this team,
right.
We're in a three-way tie for first. If I'm Coach Steinkamp, I'm saying Okoboji won, we're getting Okoboji at their best, we're playing two undefeated teams, let's go out there and win instead of, you know,
exactly.
We beat OA, Okoboji lost to OA. If we lose to Okoboji, where are we going to be at? But now it's just, you win, you're the number one seed. You lose, you're the two seed. And that's plain and simple right there. Yep. So it makes it really easy. And, I mean, for Arweva tonight, we talked about kind of that murky water, and Arweva's fallen in that there with that whole A-man district, because if Arweva wins next week, you get three teams in, they beat Cam. If Coon wins next week, they're in, and it'd be three local teams in Audubon, Coon, and Cam that could possibly be in the playoffs. But if any
you
of
mean
those
Arweva.
Games... Yeah. Yeah, I had missed that one there, but I mean, you look at it. I don't have it in order, but
right.
It probably at this point goes Audubon, and then you almost have a tie between four teams there when it comes
right.
to Cam, Coon, Arweva, Exira. So you're seeing teams because Coon's now 3-2, Cam is 3-2, Arweva is 4-2, but they have an extra district game, I believe. Or no, they were out
yep.
of district tonight.
Yeah,
so
they were
still
out
3-2.
Yeah, I had that wrong too.
And then Exira is 3-2, so you're going to have four teams at 3-2.
Right,
with a lot of them
do.
Facing that district
yep.
final opponent. So, I mean, that Arweva-Cam game is going to be huge, the Coon-Glidden game. And especially if you're a Rockets fan, you're going to be a Wildcat fan on next week because you're going
right,
to say,
yes.
if they go beat Coon, maybe we can slot up and get that next seed and maybe be a second seed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
a lot of big games next week.
We talked a little bit about that Rockets win, though. I mean, to win 61-39 over a team that I know New Ulfonda's not as good this year, but a
right.
traditional powerhouse in New Ulfonda, that's probably a big confidence booster.
Yeah, I know Coach Stoke was very pleased with the way his team played tonight. I think what he was most pleased about was that they got the running game going tonight. He only passed, the Rockets only passed 11 times tonight. And he said that they didn't have to pass because they were able to, and he gave a lot of credit to his offensive line. They were able to get push the guys back. So, you know, his offensive guys weren't touched until they were 4, 5, 6 yards down the field. And so he said they were able to put some drives together like that. And so he was really pleased with that effort tonight. And like I said, going on the road and getting Rieselman back. You know, Johnny Rieselman had a big touchdown run for him tonight. So it's nice to have him back for the Rockets going to that next week's game against Cam. So they should be really full healthy and ready to go for the Cam game.
Well, we're going to step away and we'll hear from Coach Stolk about this game here this week as they won 61-39.
Skip the ladder and hassle this holiday season. Let Curb Appeal of WCI light up your home. Hi, this is Scott. Our team custom installs bright, energy-efficient LED lights cut to the perfect length. Go for a clean, solid glow or a dazzling pattern that will wow the whole neighborhood. When the season ends, we'll take them down and store them for you next year and back it with a one-year warranty. Looking for something long-term? Ask about our permanent lighting system, perfect for holidays, game days, or any season. Curb Appeal, holiday lights, handmade, hassle-free. Call 712-210-9580 today.
When athletes are at peak performance, they need electrolytes and carbs to keep them fueled and in the game. Athletes who give 100% know to reach for Gatorade from Pepsi Beverages of Carroll. From the pros to high school to weekend athletes, Gatorade keeps you hydrated and keeps you in the game. Reach for Gatorade, brought to you by Pepsi Beverages of Carroll.
New Way Ford in Coon Rapids and Pocahontas is proud to sponsor our area teams because supporting our communities is what we're all about. When it comes time to buy your next new or used vehicle, look here first. At New Way Ford, you'll find a great selection, fair prices, and a team that makes the car buying process easy, relaxed, and fun. Plus, with free oil changes for life, you can drive with confidence long after the sale. New Way Ford in Coon Rapids and Pocahontas.
All right, this is Todd Dander, and you're listening to the New Way Auto Scoreboard Show. With me right now is our Weaver head coach, Austin Stoke, whose Rockets tonight go out of the district play and pick up a big 61-39 victory over New Ulfonda at Newell. The win improves the Rockets to, 4-3 overall on the season. And like I said, a nice victory for you guys going out of the non-district, Austin. Tell me about the ball game a little bit.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Todd. New Ulfonda, they definitely made us play four quarters of football. Every time we scored the ball, they came back with big plays. And, I'd say that's the one kind of thing that we can nitpick tonight is big plays. And we kind of lost in the margins at times. At the end of the first quarter, the score was 20-13. We were ahead. They didn't score in the second. Halftime score was 34-13. At the end of the third quarter, the score was 48-25. And then the final ended up to be that 61-39. But, overall, I thought we did an outstanding job up front. We kind of controlled the line of scrimmage, and we were able to run the ball extremely well. We had a lot of yards rushing. We only threw the ball. I think we only threw the ball 11 times tonight, but we rushed a ton. And man, that's a testament to our guards and our tight ends up front.
Right.
Really sealing the point of attack and doing a nice job communicating up front for us.
Like you said, you're only having to pass the ball 11 times. That's kind of nice when, like, that gives a lot of credit to your offensive linemen for that, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Todd. And you know, we like to, if we can, we want to play the style of run the ball to open up the passing game. But but we didn't really need to open up the passing game too much because we were sealing that point of attack. And it was really good to see, you know, our guards did a nice job of sealing that point of attack and then getting to the next level and staying on their blocks. And that's something that we've kind of struggled with for a couple weeks. But
right.
But I thought tonight we did an excellent job at it.
Was it a matter of fact of just sustaining drives, Austin, or was it, did you have some big plays that kind of got you guys going?
Yeah, you know, we had Jonathan Rieselman had one 50-yard rushing touchdown. You know, Wyatt had a couple big runs for us. But, boy, you know, in the third quarter there specifically, we did a really nice job of just kind of slowly trucking down the field in the run game. And that's something that, you know, in some games in the past we are able to gain those rushing yards, but we can't punch the ball in the end zone.
Right, right.
You know, so it was nice to see us finally capitalize on some drives and do a little bit better in the red zone.
How nice was it to have Rieselman back on the field for you?
Yeah, great having Johnny back. You know, he sees the field very well as a quarterback. He does a good job commanding the offense for us, and you know, the intangibles Johnny does too. He's a great leader for us, and he's picking guys up and telling guys where they need to be. And you know, definitely great having your senior quarterback back for a night. He's going to be sore tomorrow, and you know, he's not quite to 100%, but he played a good football game for us tonight.
You know, Newfoundland over the past, traditionally, you know, very strong football team in the last how many years. You know, I know the last couple of years they've been down, but this was probably a game that you did not want to go over there and lay an egg, huh?
Yeah, exactly, Todd. They got, they're way too athletic to
right.
to not show up to play, and I thought our guys, like I said, you know, we did a nice job coming out in the run game from the first snap, and you know, their athleticism hurt us at times with the big plays. You know, we didn't break down to make a couple tackles, and pass coverage at times was skeptical on a couple of their big pass plays. But we knew they were going to throw the football a lot. You know, it was just those couple big plays, and I thought our defensive line was a lot better tonight as well. And when you can play complementary football in the front and the back of your defense, you know, that's when you win games like this.
Well, I tell you what, the win, Austin, sets up a big one next week for you, the district final, regular season finale at Cam. Cam was a big 60-0 winner tonight over 60-6, excuse me, went over Griswold. So you know it's a big one with a playoff spot on the line next week.
Yep, our guys understand what's at stake as well. You know, it's a third year in a row, week 8, where we're in the position where, you know, you win and you're in the playoffs automatically, and our guys understand that, and they'll be ready to go come Monday.
Awesome. I tell you what, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me tonight, and congratulations on the win, and we wish you the best of luck next week at Cam.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Thanks
okay.
for having me.
Thanks, Coach. Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
It's always a great night on the scoreboard show when I look up and we have 20 minutes to talk and only two ads left. So I'm like, you know, we're cruising through the show here. The thing I wanted to talk about first, I wanted to talk about what Mr. Nick Brinks had sent me. And if his math is correct, there should be some different stuff coming on with Carroll's district. Next week, Harlan, if they lose to Atlantic, it'll be a Carroll and Atlantic locking up that top two. If Harlan wins, they will be at the two spot, and then an Atlantic win on at Carroll in week 9 would create a three-way tie at the top of that district, in a district where you only get two teams into the postseason. That's where you get that special three letters of RPI to figure all that out.
Yeah, that's for the Tigers' sakes, let's not think that's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. If you're Carroll, you just hope you win out and you go up there. Yep. But the one thing I was looking at here is the stat in front of me I wrote down is 12 of the top 26 teams in Class 3A suffered a loss tonight. And Carroll's sitting at 27. They won tonight. They'll be 4-3 as well as, I believe, 3-0 in their district. And you look ahead of them, Greene County will fall out because Greene County had lost, and they are now both 4-3, and Carroll has the tiebreaker over that. But you look at the teams here. Mount Vernon lost, Independence, MOC, Floyd Valley, Iowa Falls, Alden, Assumption, Webster City, Algona, Keokuk, Washington, Greene County, Charles City all fell tonight here. So for the Carroll Tigers, you could see a team that could slip into that kind of 20 to 15 range in that rankings there and be able to be the second best team in that district behind Atlantic at the moment.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see once the RPI stuff comes out for this next week.
Yeah, that's where they're at.
That's
yeah.
on Monday, I believe, mm-hmm. isn't it, when
Should
those
be.
Come out? With the rankings for like 2A, 1A, A, and 8-man. So, yeah, it's it'll be interesting to see how far they move up. And
but if you're Carroll, you don't want to worry about that RPI stuff. You just want, like you said, you just want to go out and win and take care of business and then do it on your own. So I'm sure that's what all Carroll's worrying about right now.
Yeah, and I look at all the other rankings here. 8-man makes it easy. The top five teams are all undefeated. You got Bishop, Garrigan, Woodbine, Gladbrook, Rhinebeck, Iowa Valley, Audubon. Going to be your top five there. I think all of them won tonight, so that should be pretty similar. We don't got anyone in Class A besides Woodbury Central ranked at 8. That's the best team in ICAM Manning's district there. And then for, you know, Class 2A, I look at it here, and you look at what Class 2A brings to the table in Kemper, PCM, Okoboji, Bellevue, Centerville, and you look at that as well. You lose a couple teams out of Class 2A, and it looks like this might be Kemper's best shot at getting all the way to the Dome, if not further, that they've had in a couple years.
Yeah, that's, you know, they you know, as we were talking off air, you know, just got to go take care of business, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, they're probably hoping that Okoboji won tonight, so they come down and both teams are undefeated, and now let's just match up and see who's better.
Yeah, you know, if you lose to OABCIG, then it's like, well, we beat OABCIG. That makes it a little bit different frame of reference, because then you're like, we know we can beat them. But now it's like both teams are undefeated. I know you look at similar scores, and Kemper probably has higher scores, but you look at both teams, they're both undefeated. So when you go in there, you're going to have two top three ranked teams coming to Carroll, Iowa next week to face off. And, I mean, that's a huge game. I look at it here. Tom Hawkapp's going to have that one here on KCIM. That's a big matchup in Class 2A.
Yeah, exactly what you want at this time of the year. I mean, you ask for big games, and now you get it. Now teams just have to go out and take care of business. You know, Okoboji is going to come down here with a lot of confidence, you know, after winning tonight. And, you know, Kemper is going to have to be ready for that. And so it's going to be a great matchup.
Yeah, I mean, that's – I think Ryan Steinkamp is a coach that says, you know, let's not back down from any challenge. We want to go out there and we want to face the best of the best to see if we're still the best one in a Class 1A. We're going to step away for a minute here. When we come back, we'll read some more scores here, and we got a lot of time to fill. So I think Jeff Blankman's going to be walking in here pretty soon. Maybe we can get him to sneak on here with us.
Feld Fire of Carroll is the choice of homeowners and business professionals. They chose Feld Fire because of the local and prompt service, 24/7 technician support, and the ability to control their security device from their mobile device. That makes keeping your property safer even easier. A professional Feld representative can help you create a protection plan for your home or business. No matter what you're trying to protect, they've got you covered. Feld Fire of Carroll, proud supporters of our area high school athletes.
Since 1968, Mackey Motors has been serving Lake City and the surrounding communities with new and certified pre-owned vehicles. Mackey Motors is a full-service dealership providing oil changes in our Quick Lube Express bays, a service department with world-class trained technicians, a body shop and collision center with the latest equipment, a full vehicle detailing department, or come talk with one of our highly knowledgeable sales staff.
Recipient of the GM Mark of Excellence Award for 16 years running. Together, let's drive at Mackey Motors in Lake City. MackeyMotors.com.
You know, we always get to listen to the great bump music. I think that's probably the best part of the job. It's not anything else, but just the bump music there, getting us through some of these times. We're going to read you guys' scores one more time here, starting with 8-man at District 9. We got Audubon defeating Coon Rapids Baird 86-30. Exire EHK defeated Glidden-Ralston 54-18. Arweva picking up a big win out of the district 61-39 over Newell Fonda. And Cam defeated Griswold at 60-6.
Okay, Class A District 8. Ikea Manning shuts out Westwood of Sloan tonight 43-0. Woodbury Central knocks off Logan Magnolia 33-14. Constable St. Albert picks up a nice 14-7 victory over Akron Westfield, and West Monona shuts out Southwest Valley 40-0.
And Class 1A District 2, it was Emmitsburg over South Hamilton 37-8. East Sac in a homecoming thriller defeats Pocahontas Area 30-28. And Manson Northwest Webster defeated the South Central Calhoun Titans tonight 31-14.
Okoboji with a field goal with 2:30 left to go, defeating OABCIG 17-15. Spirit Lake picking up their first district win at 56-27 over at Southeast Valley. And you got Kemper picking up a win over Esterville Lincoln Central 48-6.
All right, then we'll turn our attention to Class 3A District 6 with the Carroll Tigers shut out Creston tonight 50-0. Harlan with another shutout, 63-0 over Perry, and Atlantic handles Greene County 46-7.
Yeah, I saw Mr. Jeff Blankman walk by here. Now he doesn't hear us, so I can say whatever I want. But he walked by and he gave me a great gesture of showing his appreciation for me being in here. But you know, I was gonna try and catch him and get him in here to talk about the Kemper game, but I know he's not too busy. I got a lot of the stuff done, so I think he's just trying to avoid us now when he got back here.
Oh, he's probably trying to unwind after driving.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that,
him and Doug distance. Had about two and a half hour drive.
It's not an easy drive.
No.
Yeah, but the good thing now is he isn't listening. I always tell him, like, I get nervous when I do games, but if I'm on the scoreboard show, I'm not nervous with him listening because I can.
The trip is a lot easier than when you win. It's a lot better when you win.
Especially when they won with the running clock there. It probably made the trip go a little quicker there. We got about 15 minutes here of just free time. That doesn't happen too often. A lot of the interviews get to be long, but we had some shorter interviews today. A lot of coaches had some good stuff to say here. But for you guys, I know we talked about a little bit in the 10 o'clock hour. What out of the coaches' interviews kind of struck to you guys and kind of made you think a little bit more?
Well, we'll start with the 8-man games. I mean, obviously, Audubon takes control, wins the district championship tonight. And, you know, they're looking raring to go into the last game of the regular season. And then also in that district, you got three or four of the teams sitting right there, all even records, you know, going to the final week. It's going to be up for grabs for those final three spots in the 8-man District 9. So between Coon Rapids, Arweva, Xyra, or in Glidden-Ralston. Glidden-Ralston's out because Coon Rapids and Cam and Arweva and Elkhorn. So, yeah, so looking forward to that week in the 8-man play. You know, and the IKM Manning sitting good in Class A District 8, you know, with a nice win tonight and shutout victory. So they're sitting there with a chance, you know, to get a third spot in that district. You know, and then Class 1A, District 2, you got Eastside County picked up the big win tonight, and South Central Calhoun suffers the loss. But, you know, both those teams are still alive for the playoff hunt in that district. So going into the final week, you still got most of our teams still alive for the playoffs, which is exactly what you want to see going into the final week.
Yeah, and how great would it be if everyone we could possibly get into the playoffs after week 8 would get into the playoffs, because you could get Carroll, Kemper, South Central, East Sac, IKM Manning, and then three of our four teams in that 8-man district all into the postseason. We'd have a really big kind of week 9 and week 10 with a lot of teams in a bunch of different places. I don't know if we can fit everyone unless everyone goes together.
Well, you just don't know, but you know what? We'll have a big scoreboard show, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that's great. That's what you want to see. I mean, you want your teams that you cover, you know, being in that position to fight for the playoffs and then going down the last couple weeks of the season. And here we are sitting in that position. So, you know, good luck to all the teams next week, and hopefully they can all pull it off and get into the postseason play.
Yeah, Mr. Blankman's standing right there, and he's trying to avoid us.
We're motioning for him to come on in. Come on in. How are we doing?
Yeah, he's really smiling from that big drive from Esterville. I know he was tuning in.
Yeah, I am. How you doing? Did you like that I told you were number one when I came by?
Yeah, that's what I said. You motioned to me and gave me a great gesture of appreciation.
At least I didn't tell him he was number two.
Well, no, true.
You did a lot of that tonight. They're sitting and driving back.
Yeah. It, It's been a fun trip. I got to hang out with Doug Waniger for a few hours and stuff. So that was good.
That's a good thing. That's like my dream. Absolutely, had a really couple hours back.
We spent more time on the road going up than the game lasted. But you know that's right. Just the way it goes. Yeah. I'm not going to complain. We'd still be up there if it wasn't continuous clock.
We said that the trip's a lot better when you pull up a big victory like that. Yeah. It's a lot easier to come home.
And I joked with Coach Steinkamp on Wednesday when I did my pregame interview with him after the interview was over. I said, I'm anticipating continuous clock in the first half. I want to have two interviews done with you and be on the road by 9:30. Right. We weren't far off of that, so I thank him for that. So.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a big one there, 48-6. I think that... That's one that you
it
thought
could have been
was
a lot
that
worse.
Way.
Yeah, it could have been a lot worse. They dominated that game at the line of scrimmage. Their defensive line, they were in the backfield all night long, and offensively could have done kind of what they wanted to. So yeah, it was an impressive performance. Well, there's still some things that they can work on.
You know, we talked about it, saying that this is one of those games where you got the long road trip. A bus ride for the kids, but you want to take care of business. You don't want to go up there and lay an egg because if you did that, that takes away the next week's game with Okoboji.
It does.
A little luster off of it, but they went up there and did exactly what they had to do.
And Okoboji finds a way again. I told Doug this on the way home. I think Kemper's probably 20 points better just when you base off scores from the whole season and stuff, and anything can happen. At the same time, not that Kemper can't win a close game. They really haven't played one.
Right.
And Okoboji seems to be like those kids that, it's a four-point game with 3 minutes to go. We're right where we want to be, and stuff like that. I think if it's a close game, if they can, what everybody always says, if they can muddy it up a little bit next week and keep it tight, you got to wonder, Okoboji's not going to tighten up late in the game because they've been in so many of these and they've come out on the right side of them. You got to wonder for Kemper, having not had to have dealt with that all season, how they'll react to that.
Yeah, we talked about that just a few minutes ago, saying that Okoboji's going to come down here with a lot of confidence.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we talked about also that I think we're happy. As coach, Kemper's coach is probably happy too that they won. That Okoboji won tonight.
Yes,
because you'd rather go have one game. For all the marbles, instead of having to worry about the points all coming in the play.
Because if they'd have lost tonight, you could have, if Okoboji would have won next week, you could have had a three-way tie, and then you got the whole point things that come down in there. So, and I guess there's a connection. The Bating family knows the quarterback, I think, up there pretty well, or the family of the quarterback for Okoboji. So, So, I guess they... they're the golf course superintendent family, and they've worked on their golf cart a few times. I had that conversation tonight, and so there's a connection. So it's why would you not be surprised that Okoboji and Carroll have a connection? Everybody from up here, it goes up there all the time. So I shouldn't say anybody. I've been up there once, and that was for a wedding that I had to go to. So
I'm up there every summer. So.
I know you are. Yeah.
We're about close to 12 here, but I know you probably heard about the Okoboji game and what Nick had sent
me. I'm lucky. I want to give a shout out to Patricia Winterroad from OABCIG. I went to high school with her. I've got to thinking about this a couple of weeks ago, and I'm like, I need that OABCIG score, and I know she teaches there. I'm like, let me shoot her a message on Facebook and go, hey, do you mind sending me scores at the end of every quarter? And, she's been sending me scores at the end of every quarter for their games for the last 3 weeks, so kind of knew how that game was playing out as it was playing out. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what I'm disappointed about?
What's that?
I played the playoff button.
I know you did.
And Honnold
wasn't
me.
Even. No, I, he's, I don't know if he's... Well, he's always sleeping by 6. So,
but, I know the 1 week I want to play the playoff button, he's not listening.
He sent me a picture tonight, and he was in bed, but it wasn't the normal bed. He was in the hospital tonight, so he's okay. I don't want to scare anybody, he had kind of a surprise, appointment, I guess, today and tonight. So, but it I have to go back through, and him and John were blowing up my phone on text messages tonight, and I got to say to both of them, I haven't read most of them yet because I was in the middle of trying to call the game. So I'm going to have to go back through and kind of figure out what was all going on.
We can't lose Honnold yet.
He's fine. He was smiling in the picture with his ugly mug. So, So he's doing all right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I play the playoff button. I'm like, you know, I'm excited. I'm waiting for that text there, and then I sit here, and it's almost 12 o'clock.
I tried to make up for it in the one text I sent back to you after you mentioned how much you guys were enjoying not having me around.
Well, I get my little bit of freedom.
Well, Hollander didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. It was Mason.
It was Mason. Yeah. Yeah. So it was only Mason that got the, yeah.
Well, you had to give me a little bit of crap here on the air the other day when you said that Styx is my favorite band, and I have no clue who that is.
Oh, my God. Are you serious, Mason?
He sits there and he's sitting there recording, and he goes, it's Mason Nealon's favorite band, Styx. And I'm like, I have no clue who that is, but I'm leaving the building.
He's 19, folks.
Wow.
Yeah, and the rest of us are a lot older than that.
A lot older.
Yeah, I did not know who that one was there, but about 6 minutes to go here. Let's run through next week's schedule for where we got everyone. We're going to start off with our game over on Kick 106.7. It'll be Carroll and Perry with Nick Brinks over there. We got a game on KCIM as well. Okoboji Milford coming down playing that district title game against Kemper. We'll have our game over on KKRL where Mr. Jeff Blankman is going to drag me over to Glidden Ralston for our Coon Rapids Glidden Ralston matchup. There should be a fun one. And some other matchups, South Central Calhoun at Pocahontas area, USAC at Emmitsburg, ICAM Manning at West Monona, and Arweva at CAM.
And you were giving me a hard time about me dragging you over. I got to teach eight-man football yet. You don't even know how many guys are on the field for eight-man, do you?
16.
You've never seen it before, right?
Well, I can do basic math.
I know you can. I just got to give you a hard time.
I've never seen eight-man football.
This is your first eight-man game.
I know Sean Burks is probably listening right now, and I respect eight-man football, but I've never seen it played in front of me before, so it's going to be a fun time of watching it.
No. You said earlier that he's dragging you over there to be out in the cold.
Well, because he told me I will recite what he
said. Because it's usually the Glidden game is
at
in
Glidden's
cold.
Media Day, he goes, you know, it's always cold for the Glidden-Ralston game. Sometimes you don't want to do it outside. And then we sit there when we're scheduling, and he goes, let's go to Glidden. And he says, I'm bringing you with me. And I'm like, you know, I can't really tell my boss no, so we'll go over there. But, I mean, it should be a fun one there. Glidden's looking. I know they're still kind of on that outside when it comes to the playoffs there, but they have a chance to go and knock off the number two team in that district right there, and I know they're not going to give up. I know with Coach Prescott,
they could
play
spoiler.
Play spoiler. That's what the Wildcats are going to do. Try and do next week against Coon Rapids Spirits. Play the spoiler role.
That whole thing's going to be really interesting with the Arweva CAM game going to have a huge impact on that. The Glidden Coon game going to have an huge impact. That second place spot right now, it's not anybody's because there's three teams still fighting, and all three of them had a legitimate chance to be able to earn that spot.
Yeah, I mean, there's different scenarios that have to happen, but like we said, if Arweva pulls off a victory against CAM, and then the Glidden Ralston knocks off Coon Rapids Baird, you know, Arweva can have the number two spot. Right. In that district, so it's there's a lot of big games in that district next week to play for. So it's great to see. That's what you want to see going in the final week of the regular season.
Yeah, the two games I'm looking at too, they're in Class 1A, ESAC Emmitsburg, South Central Pocahontas area. After the win tonight with ESAC County, they're in as the 4 seed. If one of those teams, if Emmitsburg is able to beat South ESAC and Pocahontas beats South Central, Pocahontas would slide back up there. But you look at it there, South Central is going to be that 3 seed going and playing Pocahontas area. And then you got Emmitsburg, who's the number 2 seed in that district, going to be playing ESAC County. But what a win it was for ESAC County. If they can either both teams lose next week or they can get a win or something like that, it'd be a nice job for ESAC County to get into the postseason here. Mr. Jeff Blankman's coming over and pushing one of the buttons I got over here. But
you're good.
We've got about 3 minutes to go. Blankman, who do the Huskers play tomorrow?
It's Maryland,
the school of the deaf and blind.
Maryland, oh, yeah, that's huge game for Nebraska. I was going to talk some college football. We got some decent matchups, I'd say. We got Iowa and Wisconsin. Wisconsin, not the same Wisconsin team I'm used to. So
no, and yeah. But going up to Camp Randall is going to be a chore for the Hawks tomorrow.
Yeah, it's never easy going over there.
Going there. And what, Iowa State's going out to Boulder to play
the Boulder
Buffaloes.
Yeah, that's going to be they can't afford to lose one there either to us.
Now we got Jackson Kerrigan sitting here pointing to his Oklahoma shirt. Nobody, I don't think anyone cares about Oklahoma, Texas.
What do you mean?
Well, Texas is down there. Arch Manning hasn't been playing too well. I know they get Mateer back, but It should be a fun one there. It should be a fun week of college football and a fun week of high school football next week. But, I mean, next week is it for every school but Carroll. That's their last week of regular season football, and then every team is gearing up for the postseason there. So, I mean, we talked about it. Eight-man there is going to be a struggle to see who's going to be two or three. Cam Manning, they go play West Monona. I think they've got that third seed about locked up there if they can beat West Monona. And I think the one game I'm interested in there is the Pocahontas-South Central Calhoun game, because if Pocahontas can get a win and ESAC would lose, that muddies up the water once again for that district. And I know South Central Calhoun has had its fair share of struggles at the year, but they've also had pretty good games after you saw with that ESAC one. So it could be anyone's ball game there.
Yeah, Brian Case will have those kids ready to go. They ran into a pretty good Manson Northwest Webster team tonight. And so, and I don't think Pocahontas is quite in that caliber of team. So, you know, they'll get to work this week and they'll get things ironed out and they'll go up there and play hard. They're not going to want to end on a losing note to go to the playoffs.
No.
They want to win.
Right.
Going into playoffs.
They knew these last 2 weeks what was at stake for them. So, you know, they faltered tonight a little bit, you know, but with it all on the line next week at Pocahontas, I think you'll see a different Titan team next week, and I think you'll see them take care of business next week.
The one thing I do want to say, I don't know how many of the coaches are listening right now. I know Craig Roeder is still up doing some of his stuff. He told me he's going to have a couple hours worth of film watching to do going into this night, but I do just want to say we're blessed with some of the best coaches in the state of Iowa in this area. I mean, it's almost all of our coaches are willing to do the late hours with me and Jeff and doing interviews every week and, you know, participating in the scoreboard show. So I just wanted to shout them out and say thank you to all of the coaches that, you know, have to deal with all of us week in and week out and all these late nights of asking for stuff and figuring out all that stuff.
Yeah, we have a bunch of great coaches. There's no doubt about it. I've known a lot of them for a lot of years, and, you know, they're great on field as with coaching and with sportsmanship, and, you know, they appreciate the officials out there doing their job. So, you know, that's how I got to know a good majority of them is
exactly. Yeah.
Friday nights doing games for them.
You know what the thing is about the coaches, you know, Mason, you talked about the late nights that the coaches put in and all the stats they do, and you know, there's so much behind the scenes work that coaches do that they don't get recognized for. But you know, that's one of the best things is that, you know, the coaches do all the stuff for the kids. You know, they want their kids to get recognized, and that's what the radio station does a great job of recognizing those kids, and the coaches understand that. So I think that's why they take the time and effort to put into what they do, because they want the kids to get recognized for their efforts, you know, on and off the field. I mean, there's so many good things that they do. So we got some of the best coaches around. So,
well, guys, the magic number of midnight has hit us, and you know, it's like Cinderella. We can't get past midnight, or we're gonna turn back into the pumpkin here, and. You know, guys, it was great to do it here. It's going to be my last week on the scoreboard show. We had the A-team for the second-to-last week of the season here, but we're going to let it go into the 12 o'clock hour. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into our New Way Ford scoreboard show.